Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this?
You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C. 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hello.
La, 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 la. Hello, it is Wednesday edition. Yeah, I said it on the paper here. Yeah, right here on the best of Don and Mike. It's me, your old buddy Rob. Rob Spiewak, great stuff for you today. Know you're going to enjoy it. Larry King, Rick Dees, Leah Remini, all your favorites. But we're going to start with a mysterious phenomenon. More common now than ever before. Tis the phenomenon of regifting on the best of Don and Mike.
Last night, my child bride, who you may have heard late in the show yesterday, she called up. She was going out with a friend of hers, a friend who shall remain nameless because...
Girls' night out.
Yeah, but, well, it was just the two of them. Mm-hmm. These two girls, they've been friends for years and years. As a matter of fact, this was a girl that I had considered dating right around the time that I started dating my wife. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're now talking, Frieda and I have been married almost 20 years. It'll be 20 years in a couple of weeks, so this is... A long time ago. Yeah, that's her, Mike.
Okay, very good.
So, Frieda goes out with this girlfriend of hers. She's been friends with her longer than she's known me. And Frieda brings her a gift. I think it's something that my wife got her in New York, like a I Heart New York mug or something like that. Or something like, you know, it's okay to be single or whatever, you know, Sex in the Sea. Whatever the mug is, she presents her with a mug.
There's a lovely hat I saw that simply says F.U.
Yeah. There's another one that says F.U.F.er.
Yeah, I have the just the one that says F.U.
Right. Very nicely constructed hat.
So the, you know, this is what girls do. When girls,
girls.
My wife said girls, no matter how old or young they are, when they get together.
Foxes.
They, chicks, whenever they get together, they just can't get together and have a meal. They haven't seen each other for a while. They come on, have a meal.
Right.
They have to exchange some kind of gift.
That's wonderful, isn't it? That's where women have it all over men.
You know, I could never picture this, you know, if I was, you know, on the phone with a friend of mine who I hadn't seen for years. And you meet him for lunch, and you bring him a date. What a fag thing that is.
But bring him a gift, you mean?
Yeah. I'm sorry. Bring him a gift.
The gift was a gift of dates.
Bring your date a gift.
Right.
So she meets this woman last night for drinks down in Georgetown. And the way Frieda describes it to me is that she gives this woman the mug from New York. And the woman says, oh, well, you know, this is a wacky coincidence because I brought you a gift also.
Wow.
And Frieda takes the gift, and it is a book about girlfriends, about women, you know, friends who are girls. And Frieda opens the book up. She does this. She licks her finger.
Mm-hmm.
She opens the book up, and on the front page, there's an inscription.
Ah.
And now a lot of people do this. Buzz does this, especially if Buzz will give you a book. I have many books that Buzz has given me over the years, and,
including the Holy Bible.
And
it's appropriate with a book.
Whenever Buzz gives a book, there's always a little note from Buzz, like, you know, hope you enjoy this, or, you know, happy holiday, you know, thinking of you,
anything,
you know, year 1984, whatever, you know. So when you open the book later, you think, oh, look.
Yeah. I remember that.
I received this from my friend Buzz. Well, as it turns out, Frieda opens the book, and as soon as she opens the book, apparently her friend's face goes white because Frieda opens the book, and there's an inscription there. But the inscription is to the girl that Frieda was having dinner with from someone else.
So she was re-gifted.
She re-gifted, but she didn't stop to look at the book to think, oh, okay, I'm sure.
The gift was so meaningless to your wife's friend that she never even looked at it. She never even opened it.
And I'm sure we've all done this. You get something, you go, well, that's great. And you go, generally what I do is if I get a crappy gift, I save it for my family's big secret Santa. You know?
Was it wrapped?
Hold on, let me call and find out.
That's significant.
Probably not.
If it was wrapped, well, it's still embarrassing.
Oh, yeah.
But if it's wrapped, it's more embarrassing.
Doubly so, absolutely.
But when you originally received the gift from the first person, I'm sure the first person would have you open it up to read the inscription. Wouldn't you remember that? Hello?
Hi, I'm on the other line, talking to a computer tech.
Okay, listen, very quickly.
Yes?
When you received the re-gift last night.
Right.
And I've mentioned no names.
Hey.
Honey, I've mentioned no names. But when you received the re-gift last night,
what?
Was it wrapped?
Yes.
Oh, it was wrapped.
Oh, that makes it worse. Oh.
It was wrapped. And what was?
I'm not having this discussion, Booter. I'm on the other line. Plus, you didn't ask me if you could chat about this. I appreciate your.
Well, I thought that this was something that something that you could share a laugh with your friend about.
Yeah, I did, and it's no big deal. But I can't chat right now.
Mm. All right.
Goodbye.
But there's the answer.
I think. Probably everybody's re-gifted. I know I've re-gifted.
Yeah, but you never re-gift with a gift that's been personalized for you by someone else.
It would indicate, once again, that the re-gifting occurred when that person received the gift. They never even glanced at it. Never even opened it up, because you would always look at the front of the book, I would think, and you would know that.
And as a matter of fact, there was a second gift that was included.
I re-gift booze a lot. That's a good one. Yeah.
There was a smaller one, a smaller gift that my wife had been given that had no personal effects at all on it. And she was also sure that was a re-gift.
Uh-huh.
Even though there was no telltale sign like a note on it, she said, well, I'm guessing that was a re-gift. And I think the last I heard, my wife then was going to re-gift the other gift. The non-personalized gift, she was going to re-gift that to someone else.
That's a great idea.
Because that's how the cycle goes. But generally
you got to be very careful, though, obviously, with re-gifting. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, goes around, comes around.
The lesson here would be, if you get a gift from someone and like they write something to you, well, don't give that to someone else. Or, for God's sakes, rip out that page of the book if you have to.
Right. Yeah, there's certain things you can't re-gift.
Cake.
Right.
But I think it's a girl thing. I think probably what happened...
Now, Rob is saying you can re-gift cake.
You can, and I have re-gift a fruitcake.
Oh, a fruitcake.
Yeah, of course you can.
So be specific.
Especially my mom's fruitcake. I mean, my mom's fruitcake, which you could put in a nuclear submarine torpedo tube.
Joy of Cooking says you can keep a fruitcake for like 90 years.
Yeah, of course. It's all preserved.
Yes, yeah,
but
surprised you didn't know that.
Generally, I think it's girls that give gifts when they meet each other for these dumb tea parties or whatever they have. And I think probably what happened was, as the other woman was leaving, she said, oh, you know what? You know that Frida, she's so kind and all, she's probably gotten me a gift,
mm-hmm. right?
I better get something for her. Oh, well, let me see, what's this, some stupid book about friendship. Well, this looks good. I'll just wrap this up and give it to her.
Mm-hmm.
Probably never gave it a second thought.
It's very embarrassing, though, if I'm sure that she never dreamed.
No.
That Frida would open it up and see an inscription there. If she thought there was if she knew there was an inscription in there, she never would have regifted.
And if my wife, if she wasn't mad at me right now, and if she wasn't on the telephone, I'd be curious to know what the inscription said, because it was a book about friendship.
You can regift an inscription that's a generic inscription from an author.
Yeah.
And then it actually makes it a better gift.
Yeah. Yes, but this was something apparently that someone had written, like, you know, to Mike. You're the best buddy ever. This book is about friendship, and we are close friends.
Right.
Your pal, John, and I give it to you, and then you just wrap it up and give it to Buzz.
To Buzz, that would be, very, very transparent.
But it would mean
a
lot to me.
That's pretty damn funny, though.
But I laughed. I laughed. I don't know how the moment went last night. I'm sure my wife didn't handle it the way I would. I would have opened it up and go, what the F is this? Who is Larry, who you've just written this to? My name is not Larry.
My pal Larry.
Well, you have re-gifted me. Yeah, you son of a bitch.
That's why guys don't give gifts.
Right.
But I'm sure that my wife just opened it. Oh, you must have made a mistake. You know,
guys give gifts, but guys give like cigars.
Right.
Or maybe she didn't even say anything at all. Maybe she didn't even say anything at all.
She might not have. She's very tactful that way.
Let me see if I could just get that out of her. If she even mentioned to her girlfriend that she was aware that she's being regifted.
Well, I would assume if the inscription was read, something would have to be said.
But Frida may have read it when she got home last night.
Oh.
I was asleep
even
when
worse.
She got home.
Ah.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Because I thought you said the person turned white, though.
No, Frida turned white.
Oh,
or maybe it was the other way. Hey, honey, honey, did you read the inscription with the other person right there?
Sugie, what did I just finish saying?
Well, no, listen, this is generic. I've not made this. Could be, you know, you have a, you, unlike you, you have, unlike me, you have millions of friends. It could be any of your friends.
Yes.
Just.
Okay, but don't we have, now, I know the answer to this, but let me ask you this. Shouldn't we have, not don't we have, but shouldn't we have some kind of thing that when I'm having, you know, just chatting with you wifely stuff, that you should say, hey, you know what, that's kind of funny. Do you mind if I chat about that?
You know, generally, if it's something important, I do ask you.
Yeah, I don't think this one counts as anything but really bad, does it, Frida?
Was your friend embarrassed by this?
No, because probably a little bit. It was no big deal. We'd been friends a long time. It was just a laugh.
Well, the white face, that the face turned white. It was your face. It was her face. It was you know, someone. Did you open it up and say, "Oh my God, I'm not Heloise," or whatever the name is that was in there?
No, I didn't say, "Oh my God."
Or did you say, "Oh"?
I said, "How sweet, you wrote something in the front." She said, "No, I didn't."
Oh. She turned white.
And the inscription, and I promise the last question I'll ask you about it, was it a highly personal inscription?
I didn't read it. So she whipped it back out of my hand. She said, "Whoops, well, never mind."
Oh, so she took the gift back.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know.
Then it was like a mistake.
Well, no, it wasn't a mistake. She regifted. It's just she got caught regifting.
Have you never regifted?
Oh, no, I've regifted.
I've regifted many times.
Well, there you go.
But I've never been so dumb as to regift with a present that someone has inscribed to me.
She just didn't notice it was written in there, and I just happened to spot it.
You know what that says? That's news for the friend who originally gave the gift, that the gift was thought of so little that she never even bothered to open the
Let me ask Frida a question. When you read the inscription and saw that...
I didn't even read it. It got whipped back out of my...
Oh, okay. All right. So you didn't even know whether...
I just
saw
that. I said, "Do you know so-and-so, the person who signed it?" And she said, "Oh, yeah."
How many words were in the inscription?
It was a hefty paragraph. I mean, it was a good, it wasn't just a love you.
Oh my God.
That's embarrassing. And the book was about friendship, right?
Yeah.
Too damn funny.
All right. So how did you make it through the rest of the night with this girl?
It was fine. We've been friends.
How come you just didn't scratch your eyes out?
I had given her... hardly a present, like a mug. I mean, so it wasn't like it was a big expensive gift.
But listen, at least you didn't go up in our cupboard and pull out a mug and wrap it up and give it to her.
No.
All right, you actually went out and bought a mug, right?
Yes. I mean, it was no big deal. It was just a little. It was a laugh.
And the other one, you think the other? And I've not mentioned the other gift because I know you're planning on.
You know what? Stop. I'm not talking to you right now.
All right, honey.
All right?
All right.
Okay.
All right, love you.
Yeah, love you too.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Well, anyway, the other gift is a re-gift too, which she's going to, I think, give to her mother. I'm pretty sure that's
how she's going to re-gift?
Yeah, she's going to re-gift the second gift, the gift that's not the book that was signed to somebody
else.
That's fine.
So she didn't really get a chance to really...
I think Frida, at this point, she is concerned about her friend's feelings.
Of course. She's always concerned about that.
I don't think that's what it said, Mike.
Okay, I'm just curious.
I don't think it might have said, it might have said this, though.
we're doing our versions of the inscription.
What you'd like for her to have written?
Yeah. It would have been
interesting. No, what we think might have been written.
What we think might have been inside the book.
Okay.
The book about friendship.
Uh-huh. Oh, telephone.
That might have been written. It might have. Hello?
I thought I said stop.
I have stopped.
Yeah, but you didn't stop when I told you to stop.
Mike and I are, right now, we are simply writing what we think might have been written in the book. We're just holding it up for each other.
Didn't I tell you to stop? Stop, and didn't I say to you stop, and then you went on about what I'm going to do with the other gift, which is not even true?
Oh, hold on, you told me that. You told me you're going to give it to your mom.
I did not say that.
No, you're going to give it to Judy, I'm sorry.
Stop, you know what? Now I'm really mad at you.
Oh, don't be really mad.
I'm really mad at you.
Come on, don't be really mad.
No, I am.
Come on, honey. Let me ask you this.
Just in your future negotiations in life, when someone's really mad at you, if you say, "Don't be really mad at me," they don't usually say, "Oh, okay."
Oh, but this is not a big deal.
Yeah,
honey, look at that. My phones are lighting up here.
I got
people that want to talk about regifting. This is opening up an entire topic on the show
today. How many friends do you have?
I'm looking at them right now.
Right.
I count three.
And I don't want to be in your sad position. I want to hang on to my friend.
I'm happy.
Let me ask, I understand where your wife's coming from here. Is the subject, if we make the subject of regifting, a generic thing without you involved, can we talk about regifting in general?
You know what? It was no big deal, and you can talk about regifting. And if he had asked my permission to tell the little story on the air, that would have been fine.
You know,
but to say I didn't like the second gift, which I thought was very cute.
Well, wait. But hold,
wait yourself.
But you're regifting the second gift.
I am not. I was saying that my sister would probably like that, but I'm holding on to it.
Now you misunderstood. I must have misunderstood when you said this would be nice for Judy. I'm going to give it to her.
No, I said it would be nice for her because she would like that, but it was.
All right, you know what? I'll just keep an eye out, and I'll just see if over the coming weeks and months.
Another phone call. It's probably an actual friend of mine, or former friend. All right.
There's no reason that this girl shouldn't still be your friend.
Yeah, right.
Let me just say, if she, you know, I would think if someone is a real friend, if they want to re-gift me, re-gift me with, hello?
Hi.
My sister.
All right.
Which sister is it?
My sister Robin.
Oh, the other sister.
Yes. All right.
Okay.
Goodbye.
See you later. Bye-bye.
All right, so I got from your wife that the subject of regifting is fine.
Forget what she says. I'll talk about it. It's no big deal. And I mean, frankly, the other girl should...
Have you ever regifted anything that you've gotten from any of us here on the show?
Never. I never have. Never. I've gotten all the gifts I've gotten from you guys. Mm-hmm. The only stuff I have regifted that even has anything remotely to do with the show is maybe something from Dennis Murphy.
Right.
Which I've gotten and immediately, you know, said, what a piece of junk. Let me put this in the Secret Santa thing for everybody at my wife's family's Christmas party.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah. No, and regifting, like I said, regifting is okay.
Just take the personalized stuff out of it.
Yeah.
Well, but, regifting is really a nice thing to do. I mean, gifting is a nice thing to do. If you receive something that you think another person would like more, that's perfectly adequate.
That's
for a
BS.
Re-gift.
You're regifting just because you don't like the gift.
Well, that's of course. If you like the gift, you would keep it. But
right.
You also sometimes you might receive a gift that you think, yeah, it's okay, but the person who would really like it would be so and so.
That's never happened with me. I've always.
It's never happened with you. Well,
the re-gifts that I re-gift,
you throw them away if you don't like them.
Yeah, I either toss them or I put them in a Secret Santa. I never like get a crappy gift and go, wow, this is a, because to me that's an insult to whoever the friend is I'm thinking about. Oh, you know what? Hey. Mike would love this.
I'll use the example. I mean, I've gotten bottles of scotch from people, very, very nice, expensive bottles of scotch that have been given to me, and I've given them to other people because I don't drink scotch.
Oh, okay. Because you don't drink scotch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing.
But you know somebody who does like scotch, so you give it to them.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And it would be the same for, like, a brand of golf balls that I got that I don't play, but I know somebody else plays them. I'd give them to that person.
Well, you're a better person than me. That's fine. I'm fine with that. You give me a piece of crap, but generally I'm not going to push it off on a friend of mine and throw it away.
or take it back to the store.
And you did that.
Well, you did.
Okay, all right.
You made a touché. Goddamn Pulitzer Prize-winning play out of it.
Touche. All right,
Slam Man.
You're right. I forgot about the Slam Man.
Yeah.
But that was with that was with your approval. You said if you really don't like it, take it back to Sharper Image.
Well, I mean, I was being extraordinary. But, well, it didn't bother me. It did. I mean, I really did. If you didn't want it, take it back.
And
it ended up being very amusing. And then I probably set the land speed record for when you gave me the golf sandals.
Yes, the golf shoes.
Golf sandals came across the console and they came back across the console inside of 10 minutes.
Yeah, I saw that. Right. So it's happened on both sides here.
This is true.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
You really got a medic? You're not going to be sleeping alone tonight.
No, I'm not. The woman loves me.
You will.
The woman loves me. Don't worry about it.
I'm not.
Okay, thank you.
Leon Redbone calling.
Bye-bye. Hello there, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, Don.
Yeah, and Mike. Hi.
Yeah, hey, I got a regifting story for you.
Yeah.
For my wedding, we opened up a box that was from a cousin of my wife, and it was a... phone answering machine box. And we thought, oh, great, a phone answering machine. And we opened it up, and, you know, those cheap Oneida bowls, you know, that have, like, fruit, you know, fruit bowl. So I opened it up and looked inside, and there's this cheap Oneida bowl. So we pulled it out, and it's got a freaking dent in it.
No, wait a minute, hold on. So
not only do you not get the wrong box, but it's got a dent in it.
It wasn't the right box, and it was a cheap gift to begin with, and it had a dent in it.
Well, now, here's something I have done.
When you really care.
Here's the thing I have done, I'll tell you, and I'm sure everybody else has done this, too. I'll buy a gift for someone at Walmart or Target or something like that, something that you really couldn't tell the value on. Right. And what I'll do is I'll go and I'll go through my wife's crap and I'll find a
Nordstrom box.
Yeah, a nice box, and I'll put it in the Nordstrom box.
Sure.
I do that all the time.
Well, I think everybody does. A generic department store box is okay, but like putting a box with a product on it, that's cruel.
Hello, yeah. If you give someone a box that says answering machine, you're giving them a busted dishes. Yeah. That's bad.
And a broken heart.
Hello, Don and Mike.
It's better to be regifted than not to be gifted at all.
I completely agree with that gentleman.
Good.
I heard the regifting story. I was living in Los Angeles in one of those periods where there was like 8 Christmas parties in 10 days. And I gave somebody one of those little personal organizers.
Yeah.
And I got re-gifted with it a week later. I knew it was the exact same thing because of the way the price tag was torn off of it. And we tracked it back, and it had been re-gifted 4 times. And one of the people, ironically, was the you know, I didn't know from the person who re-gifted it to me, and I didn't know the person who re-gifted it to. So there was a stranger in the mix who had re-gifted at one point. It was the ultimate re-gifting.
I tell you, that's a bad gift then. If it goes from you to someone else,
sure,
to someone else, back to you again.
Well, a gift like that has to be such a bad gift that it probably never even comes out of the plastic. You know what I mean?
You never move past.
You know, oh, put that away. We'll give that to somebody else.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Yeah.
This is Jose from Wichita.
Hi, Jose.
When you guys came down and had this show here, what'd you guys do with my George Burns cigars?
George Burns cigars?
Did you throw them away?
Yeah, I did.
I came up to the stage.
Yeah, and you handed them to me, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put them like back on a table while we were on stage, and then I left the place, and they're probably still there.
Oh man,
we don't keep stuff that we get handed on stage. Oh. Usually, it just doesn't work that way.
Often poisoned.
That'll save people a lot of effort.
Okay, I'll remember that next time.
Thank you.
You'll probably find this shocking, but some people would like to put bleach or perhaps some other dangerous chemical in an item they give us to ingest.
Hey, this cigar tastes like root beer.
Yeah,
Mike, you're mistaken. Actually, you gave those to me for Christmas last year.
Ah, yes. Okay. Sorry, Rob.
Thanks. Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey, Mike, remember the generator you gave Don? He re-gifted that to his mother-in-law.
That hurt me more than any other gift I've ever given you.
I didn't re-gift it to her like I gave it to her and said, hey, Merry Christmas or Happy New Year. I just said,
here.
She should have. It was a great generator.
No, but it was a gift
kick-ass generator.
It was a gift that I got, and I said to her, I'll never use this. You're old. Old people like generators. Take this generator.
But I gave that to you for a specific need when you had been without power and you were complaining, and I actually envisioned the generator sitting outside your cave with an outlet ready to go whenever you would lose power because you had complained.
Watching television.
You would complain during, I think, that bad winter we had.
Well,
when we had
blizzard.
We had a horrible blizzard, and you were out of power for like 3 or 4 days.
Yeah.
And you were talking about not being able to watch television, and I was sitting there in the Home Depot, and I said, this will be, you know, there was a special on generators, and I got you like the Cadillac of generators.
I know it's a nice generator.
And not only was it a good gift to get, but I thought the man hours required the manpower required to get this gift to your location, you know, to bring
heavy
to lift.
I had to bring the truck in to work, and you and I had to pick it up and put it in the truck.
Right, and now it's still down with your in-laws with Brandy the dog.
Mother and father-in-law. they've never used it. Never used it once. It's still sitting in the same box out in the
with all the other things that have outlived their usefulness.
That's right. The dog, the generator.
Was Brandy re-gifted? I mean, you could originally get Brandy for Bart, and then he re-gifted it.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
When I got married, my mother-in-law gave us an orange juicer with pulp.
Oh, that's bad.
That might be a winner right there.
And the following birthday, she got me a shirt that didn't fit me, and I took it back to the store and got my $1.50 back.
Oh, damn. All right, thank you, my friend.
Okay.
Thank you.
A juicer with pulp.
Yuck. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
And I got one more question. I'm a student of print journalism, and I just wanted to know, what advice do you have for young people coming up into the field? Like, professors are telling us how hard it is to get into the field at first. I'd just like to know, since you're in the field, do you have any advice on that? For instance, experience, is that important?
Uh-huh. Sure.
Is that probably the most important element?
Well, it's way up there.
It's way up there. Anything else? Anything you do?
Pressure on the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Done this before. I don't want it to be his first surgery.
Okay.
Applied himself well.
Mm-hmm.
These are things I'd have confidence in a young MD.
Okay. I'm talking about journalism field.
I'm lost. What do you mean?
The journalism. Like, I'm a student in journalism at a college, and I was just wondering the most important aspect of getting into journalism, not the medical field. I think you're exhausted from 30 nights.
I am exhausted from 30 nights. No person, even those of us who are superhuman, those of us with Herculean appetites for the diverse and the bizarre, even those of us who have shown an aptitude to fight the good fight and stay the good long battle, even those of us can get tired. And your boy is tired after 30 consecutive nights. I have a half hour to go, and I'm going to do that half hour because I'm a pro. That's what pros do. I'm a professional. Look it up in the book.
Okay.
That's what we do. We're pros. We're never rude. We don't cop out. We don't tell you that we're ill or that we're looking for the farmhouse in the middle of the desert or that we're parched. We don't tell you that maybe the check didn't come through this month and where the hell does it go anyway if you're a guy who's left 16 forwarding addresses.
Okay.
So what do you do? What is the answer? Yeah, you're a little perturbed now. Kind of worried about the club.
The club?
Don't worry about the club. Worry about maybe Jackie might worry. Nah, don't worry. Okay, just cool it. Life is a breeze. Of course, some breezes, as you know, are 110 miles an hour and get promoted up to hurricanes. I passed that along. Speaking of pass it along, we're going to pass along now to the newsroom, the mutual newsroom, high atop the overlooking downtown, beautiful downtown studios of Wallace, Virginia, Washington, D.C. The mutual newsroom will get us up to date on the news headlines, and we'll come back with a little more Open Phone America and have our salute to my man Duke Siebert by taking him to one of his favorite places, one of mine too, the town of Cooperstown, New York. This is the Larry King Show in Washington, and we'll be right back.
Very scary.
The Don and Mike Show. Like corn, enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
Can we still say that? I don't know. It is the best of Don and Mike on a good-looking Wednesday. How you doing, everybody? Very eventful day here in Washington, D.C., what with tornadoes and the like and vicious wind and rain. I hope this broadcast finds you well. It's your old buddy, Rob Spiewak, here, playing the tapes. We just heard Larry. Larry King. Larry from the corner. And this is just a magical moment when I think it was Don who discovered in a trade newspaper Larry King interviewing the best bad disc jockey in the world, Rick Dees. It's Larry and Rigdon on the best of Don and Mike.
There's a disc jockey magazine called Radio and Records.
Right.
And it's the industry Bible.
Sure.
And every year they have these stupid conventions, the disc jockey conventions. And this year, the highlight of the convention, and what a letdown this would be.
You
pay your thousands of dollars to fly to Los Angeles. You stay at a big hotel.
You have to hang around with radio people.
You get your stupid name tag. You get put into these the giant cattle cars that take you where you get allegedly free drinks, when actually it's like the kind you get on a cruise ship where they take a top of a NyQuil bottle and they put just like a drop of rum in it, and they go, that's your free drink.
Drop of watered down rum.
And then after all of that, they go, now, congratulations, you're at the R&R Radio and Records Convention. Now you're going to get the highlight entertainment and the curtains part, and sitting up on stage is Larry King interviewing Rick Dees.
Rigdon.
Rigdon Dees. You know what we really need? I guess we need copies of this.
Yeah, because you were going to play the part of Rigdon, and I was going to play the part of Larry.
This is not prepared comedy. We're just going to really read to you the actual interview. It's so at least the part with Rick Dees.
Right.
His answers are so jive. I don't know if all of you know who this guy. You probably know he has like a weekend Casey Kasem type show.
Didn't they try him on the mornings here in Washington, D.C.?
On Z104, yeah.
And he's no longer there.
No.
That lasted, what, a month?
6 weeks, maybe.
Yeah.
failed experiment, but he's one of these guys.
Something we predicted. We should really be get credit for that. We predicted he wouldn't last.
He talks like this, like there's always something happening.
Very jive.
Rick Dees, have you ever wondered what the favorite sandwich is of Lance Bass of NSYNC? That answer after this on Kiss. And then he'll come back and go, the answer is not bologna, not ham and cheese, PB&J.
And J.
Like, and for Rick Dees, that's like a bit. And he's got all the sound effects and the people going, ooh.
Ooh. Wow. What was the question of, would you? What was that? Do you remember that? What was that question? Was it something about Madonna?
It was, if you could, would you trade places with Madonna?
Would you?
Would you? That's his big phone topic. And then, you know, all the idiots call him up. And, okay, you got it, Robbie?
Man.
Beautiful. So anyway, here's what this says. Now, this is big stuff in the industry newspaper.
Yeah, big names.
Where it says, a conversation between legendary icons. One legend interviews another. Listen to this crap. Larry King is as smooth as silk. No notes, no liner cards. And listening to him perform is like putting on that favorite pair of Levi's. He provides the ultimate comfort for viewers and guests alike. It only takes a moment to see how professional Dees is and why he commands such respect from his peers.
And that was right.
God.
We're among Rick Dees' peers. I worked at Kiss FM in Los Angeles when Rick Dees worked there. We all the rest of us, we thought he was the biggest pompous a-hole in the world.
Johnny Jive.
Because he was, when you would see him, you couldn't refer to him as Rick Dees or call him Rick.
Uh-huh.
You had to call him Rick Dees in the morning.
Right.
Oh,
like if you saw him in the hall, you couldn't go, hi, Rick. You'd have to say, hey, Rick Dees in the morning.
Oh, man.
And the biggest secret, when I worked there at least, this was 20 years ago, was that his real name is Rigdon.
Uh-huh.
So one day I'm walking out of the station with the program director, who hated him. Guy's name is Don Benson. The guy hated Rick Dees.
Right.
And Rick Dees is coming around the corner in his big old man Cadillac, which is funny because now I drive a big old man Cadillac. He's coming around the corner in this car, and Don Benson, top of his lungs, Sunset Boulevard, screams, hey, Rigdon! And he turns around, and the program director just waving at him, and he says to me, that's his real name. You should call him that whenever you see him that. Call him Rigdon.
Rigdon.
Rigdon. Rigdon Dees. So anyway, here we go. Those of you who were unable to attend this year's convention missed a magical hour, topped by an incredible performance by Virgin recording artist Nikki Costa. How often do you see programmers give a new artist a standing ovation? All in all, everything clicked. Here's an inside look at the action between King and Dees. Now, we're just going to read this to you as written.
Hey.
When I was asked to do this for Rick Dees, whom I've admired and enjoyed not only as a friend but as a companion in the business, I was honored to do it. The term great gets bandied around a lot, but there are very few great radio personalities who kiss my ass, and Rick Dees is one of them.
Thank you, Larry.
What happened with you on television?
My goal as a kid was to get on late-night TV.
Mm.
Now you got to remember also, and I'm going to break away from the scripture for a second, that for about 5 minutes,
yep,
Rick Dees had a show that went up against Leno and Letterman. I mean, nobody watched it,
right,
but he had a show. ABC decided to do something after Ted Koppel. That's a hard act to follow because he's talking about really serious subjects. What we were doing was a different format, and at the time it just didn't work, but I would love to go on now and do a show just like that.
Larry.
Oh, yeah. Why don't you try coming back?
To tell you the truth, Larry. Okay, and listen. I'm breaking out of character again. This is a giveaway. When someone says to tell you the truth, even if you hear me saying that,
right there,
I'm about to lie to you.
Yeah.
Because really, when you say to tell you the truth, what that implies is that everything else you've said up to that point has been a lie.
It's a lie, correct.
To tell you the truth, Larry, I love radio.
See, that's a lie.
I didn't love radio. And I'm working on a TV project. I really sincerely enjoy watching you and others do what you do so well. I've been very fortunate. I came up with an idea for the television networks. I pitched it to a company called Scripps Communications, and they actually bought it. It's called Fine Living.
Oh, God.
It'll be on in January.
Really? You're going to show famous people's homes and all?
Homes, cars, and more. It's like a video Rob report.
You have a son in the business, Rick.
I do. He's in prison now, and as soon as he gets out...
Funny.
Kevin Deese has a tremendous amount of talent and great camera presence. He's 22 and just graduated from USC on the Dean's List.
Is your wife, Julie, still doing voices?
I haven't spoken to her in ages. No. The problem with Julie is...
You funny man.
She does voices, and... She hears them, too. I'm so proud of Julie. She's the voice of Casper the Ghost. She's most of those little Smurfs. And she does a great Janet Reno.
Do you live in a weird house?
Yes, I do.
Do you ever speak to each other in different languages?
Last night, Larry, I was naked with Elizabeth Taylor, and this little voice came out from under the pillow.
What was your break?
It was in Memphis.
Oh.
Now, hold on. Stop for a second. Listen, that last little piece that you were hearing, imagine you're a disc jockey in the audience and you're thinking maybe you're going to learn something.
Right. And it's this circle jerk.
It's this bad, you know, Rick Deese is bad. Now, first off, you get the essence of Rick Deese. I don't even know if how many of you know the magazine called Rob Report. I know it from being on airplanes. What it is...
It's an elitist magazine.
It's beyond elitist. It's the Snob Report. It's not the Rob Report. It's the Snob Report.
It's a magazine you read. It's all about stuff you can't have.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
The most expensive cars in the world, the most expensive hotels in the world. Now, keep in mind, Rick Deese is the disc jockey that, when he was broadcast for a while on Z104, one of the breaks we heard him doing here when he was syndicated for 2 minutes in D.C. was, I'm not lying, it was Z104, good morning, Rick Deese. Is there a finer feeling than getting in your automobile, heading out Santa Monica Boulevard, in your Bentley? There is nothing in the world like driving a Bentley with the top down.
Sure.
Now, a Bentley...
There's a relatable for everybody.
Now, a Bentley, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't know. That's like what, a $500,000 car?
Yeah.
Something like
that? Yeah, I mean, it's like $350,000, $400,000.
Right. I mean, who can afford that car? Well, besides, Rigdon. You know, Rigdon and Rush Limbaugh. Okay.
Yeah, really nice to share that with people that are on their way to, you know, slay the dragon at work.
Yeah, all the people who are driving their Hyundais, all the people who really have to work for a living.
Right.
So his TV show is going to be, a video Rob report.
Oh, great. Just what we need.
And his kid is in prison now. No, that's a joke.
Mm-hmm. What was your big break?
I was in Memphis.
Huh?
I was trying to copy people in radio on the way up to that point.
Sure.
I tried to copy anybody. Larry King.
You can rephrase that.
Or Dan Ingram, or Ted Brown. When I got to Memphis, a guy named Art Wonder came up to me and said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Just tell the jokes and do the same thing you do in the hall for the salespeople on the air." So the next day I said, "I'm going to try that."
God.
I went to the mayor's office. His name was Wyatt Chandler. They were doing a little promotion for Halloween, and no one showed up. I had this little cassette recorder. I said, "Mayor, they're getting ready to fire me here in Memphis. Could you do me a favor and just say, drive carefully?" He said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Deese. Watch out for those potholes." "No, sir, Mr. Deese." The next day, I went on the air, and I said, "So you're running around on your wife, right, Mayor?" And I played the tape that said, "Yes, sir, Mr. Deese. Do you want this over the radio?" "No, sir, Mr. Deese." But we're just... I mean, you got to get past all this stuff to get to the good stuff about Rick Deese.
Rigdon.
We get to page two, Mike. It's his philosophy about how God is important to radio.
Yes, of course.
And how much money he makes.
Yes,
and
rich guy.
His incredible work ethic.
All right.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
My first guest just made me laugh my butt off the last time she was on. That's what happened to it. I had to have her back. She stars in the hit CBS show King of Queens. Please welcome Leah Remini.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program The King of Queens. Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini, ladies and gentlemen.
Leah Remini.
comedy is right over here. We're back, man. Stop. Balls of fire for Leah Remini, everybody.
Called.
Balls of fire?
A ball of fire.
Ball of fire. We're hearing the rules.
Not balls of fire.
I understand you're playing for somebody today. A couple DJs. Who are you playing for?
Don and Mike.
Don and Mike.
Friend,
out in DC.
Don and Mike.
The Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The best of Don and Mike.
Thanks, Pete. It is the Best of Don and Mike, and we now embark on a two-segment adventure today on the Best of Don and Mike. If you've listened for any length of time, you know that Don and Mike have a checkered past with TV star Leah Remini. She stars on the popular CBS program The King of Queens, as you just heard Dave Letterman say. And this is a pretty good conversation, two-part conversation with Leah Remini on the Best of Don and Mike.
Hold on, stand by now. Hold on a second.
Here we go.
We got to come back to the standby. Big TV star here on the line. Hello?
This is very exciting.
Hello, hold on. Let me play her in.
All right, here she comes now. She plays the feisty, outspoken wife to the King of Queens, making her the Queen of Queens.
I love her.
Here's Leah Remini.
There she is with Regis. Here she is with Letterman.
Our next guest is one of the stars of the popular television program The King of Queens. Monday nights at 8 right here on CBS. Here's the lovely Leah Remini, ladies and gentlemen.
And here she is now back after a sabbatical, a hiatus, if you will, from the show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
So listen, what's the dealio? Are we... Are we in? Are we out? Are we...
Well, I mean, you're always in with me, but I guess, you know, we should talk about what happened, because...
Yes, we have to, because it was a part of this show.
Okay, let's talk about it. I'll tell you the way I feel about it.
All right, go ahead.
All right, at the time, I felt like you were my friends, and I didn't want to do anything to upset you, and you basically put it, I mean, not basically, you put it to me like this, do the show, and we're never going to talk to you again.
Right, but then there was
At the time, I felt like, okay, you know, for my own personal reasons, I didn't want to do it. But then on top of it, you know, whatever, you didn't want me to do it. You guys didn't want me to do it.
No, she's talking
when
about...
I hung up the phone, I felt like, you know, that's like I wouldn't. That's a weird position to put me in. Anyway, then when I went to New York, and I out of the blue canceled. They heard the show. They knew I canceled because of you guys. Now, this wasn't Les Moonves. This is even his boss that I got in trouble about. I didn't know that our show, our network, owns the radio show. You guys, you know, you're on the same thing. And anyway, I got in trouble for that.
All right, just let me tell everybody, you know, Leah had been very loyal to being on this show. Mm-hmm. And she one day called and said she's going to be on Howard Stern's show. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, you know, we'd have a problem with that since, you know, he's like public enemy number one on this show.
And because, you know, Leah was such a big part of our show, which she has been for a long time.
So then we went through this thing with Leah, and frankly, we didn't want her to do it because we like think she's kind of exclusive to this show.
We did that on the air. Everybody heard that.
And then Leah and I had some off-air conversations, and I said to her,
right.
Well, then, you know, go ahead with, you know, do what you have to do. And then, from my standpoint, where the bad stuff came in was that after you were on the show, you know, I get a tape of Stern's show, and I get the transcript of Stern's show, and at one point, you just apologized to him.
Yeah, and we both thought that you were apologizing for us.
Why?
And that's
first of all, that's bull. That's complete bull. First of all, let me explain something to you. I had already committed to doing the show. They had already had me booked on the show. Then when I talked to you guys, you said, don't do it. This was like a day or two, how many days before I was going to New York to do it.
Okay.
And I canceled on him.
Okay.
That's what I apologize for.
Okay, all right. Then, all right.
Because
all right.
That is not professional. Don't ever say to me that I'm kissing anybody's ass, because I'm not kissing anybody's ass.
No, wait, hold
but
on.
The bottom line is, I had committed to doing his show.
All right,
and
so you were apologizing for that.
You guys have some stupid crap going on. You're on the same network, basically.
Honey,
not
listen.
Even against each other.
No.
But don't say that I kissed
anybody. No.
We
interrupt this program to activate the emergency alert system for the Washington, D.C. metropolitan operational area because of a local weather emergency.
The National Weather Service has issued a tornado warning for Stafford County in Northern Virginia until 5 o'clock this afternoon. At 3:55 this afternoon, Doppler radar indicated a developing tornado 11 miles south of Stafford, moving north at 25 miles per hour. Some locations near the path of the storm include Stafford, Stone Corner, and Brook. If you are in or near the path of this storm, take cover now. If no shelter is available underground, move to an interior room on the lowest floor. Mobile homes and vehicles should be abandoned for more substantial shelter and avoid windows. Do not take shelter under highway overpasses. Once again, a tornado warning has now been issued for Stafford County in Northern Virginia until 5 o'clock.
I was an unknown actress or unknown talent that started on your show. Right. I am an actress. I'm on a television show. When we first started talking, I was, you know, I was already on the show. The show was already picked up. The show was going. So to act like I came on your show and I was your baby and then I went off and went to Howard Stern and now I'm Howard Stern's person is untrue. And the way you're positioning it is to your benefit.
Well, that's what this is.
To make me look like authentic.
Well, no. If this—that's what the purpose of this conversation is about.
I don't think you can say a-hole anymore. I think they just deleted you out on that. And we're not trying to make you look like an a-hole. And I'm not here to debate.
But you just—I just want to say, when you came in, you said I apologize for canceling.
Right.
That's fine.
But when we heard it, we interpreted it. No. On the air, it wasn't said I apologize for canceling. It was just I'm sorry.
So that we interpreted it the way we did, and if you're saying that that's what you meant,
since obviously
is that what I meant? I mean, how long have I known you two?
But if
you're going to turn around and interpret my deal with people,
can I say something? Hold on, before this, because I see where this is going, and I'm going to say something right now.
How good of friends are you to me?
Wait a minute, I want to
assume I'm kissing somebody's ass.
Hold on,
kissing Howard Stern's ass.
The issue was when Don said, you know, have fun, you know, go ahead, you got to do what you got to do, which is true, and that was said off the air. Go ahead, you got to do what you do. Then when we heard the show, it was just it made us feel bad because we've had you on for a long time. We know that you do what you do and that you've established yourself. It just it just felt bad because of the reasons we probably didn't want you to do it.
How selfish are you two?
Hold on. No. Hey, wait.
That you would jump and think, oh, Leah's an a-hole. And look what she's
doing. You got to stop saying a-hole. They're going to delete you out.
No, as opposed to, wow, Leah's taken us to place. You know, Leah's let us in her home. Leah would do anything for us. Leah would put us on the phone with anybody. Leah would talk to us anytime.
And
Leah would put us on the phone David Letterman, I would do anything for it. Show me another actor or actress been on your show who's done as much for you as I have or let you into their lives as much as I have.
Don't scream.
For you to turn around.
Hold on.
Put these,
slow down.
Restrictions on me.
Slow down.
To act like I'm some kind of punk.
Slow down.
You know what I mean, it's ridiculous.
Slow down.
To me. It shows me what you two really think of me.
No. You know what? Let me just say to you, you don't know what we think of you, and it's a two-way street. Yes, you're a big television star, and you're a big television star.
You did.
You were a TV star before you met us. You said that, and that's great.
I never said I was a big television star, and that's what you just said. I said I was on a show before I met you.
You were on a show before you met us.
If I was a comic, and you gave me my shot on your show, and then I turned around and went to other radio stations after I started getting big and I didn't have time for you, that's a different story.
Listen.
That was my point. Not that I'm a big television star.
Okay.
Don't try to, again, make me look like I'm saying I'm a big star.
Now, listen, if you keep, Leah, we are operating under a different set of circumstances now. If you keep saying A-S-S and the rest of that word, they keep deleting you out and people can't hear what you're saying.
Well, they know I'm saying it wrong, so they can figure it out.
Well, the more you say that, the more you're going to get dumped. And
yeah, it's not like just the word gets dumped. The whole, 10 seconds worth gets dumped.
All right, go ahead.
All right, now, there is no doubt that you are a TV star. You had a show before you met us. I would say the other side is, name me another radio show that put you on it, and I'm not doubting all the nice, great things you've done for us.
Mm-hmm.
But tell me another radio show that had you on as much and promoted your TV show as much as we try to, and try to help promote. And you can say,
I'm not close to them, Don.
I mean, if
you want me to, I could very easily make relationships with other radio stations. I haven't. I go on once, thank you, bye. That's it.
Okay, but if you think...
I've had other offers to repeatedly go on other shows.
The issue with this particular show, and the reason this whole thing started, was the sensitivity between the two shows.
As long as we have been doing
this radio show, we get that other show mentioned to us all the time. It happens all the time. And is it a sore point? Of course it's
a sore point. This is the last point I want to make. It works both ways with the radio shows. Obviously, if the Howard Stern show was so secure, and we admit we're not secure.
We're not secure, not one little bit.
But if he was so secure and so scary on top of the world, what would he care? But the point is,
I think really when we're going back and forth on this, it should be mentioned that when the show was canceled, when you canceled, that there was, you know, there was an S storm, and it wasn't caused by us.
And it was caused by Howard Stern and his people, because they said, hey, she's on the Don and Mike show, and now she's not coming on this show because she's on the Don and Mike show. So he's as bad and as petty as we are.
No, because they heard it. Somebody heard it and called
him. Yeah, right. Because they...
This came from his producer. Leah, I swear to God, this came from that show. This came from that show. I mean, that's the way it works. I mentioned before that we do this all the time. It happens. It's much more severe than when you get a Leno and a Letterman situation. It's much more petty than that, and it's much more hardball than that. It really is.
And it's petty on both sides.
It's petty on both sides. We admit that. I mean, we admit we're the pettiest guys in radio. And don't for a second think that we don't appreciate what you've done for us, and we do.
And the thing that's hypocritical about it is that we've had guests want to come on this show, and we've been told, no, they can't come on your show because they've been on Howard Stern's show.
Right.
That Howard Stern is protective of the guests who have been on his show.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was when the whole thing blew up, it just got, you know, it got to a point where we felt like, the stepchildren again. We really did. And it was, and we are sensitive to that. You know, and what, mm-hmm. you know, and we reacted to that. That's the way it goes. But we take a lot of pride in what we do here, just like you do.
Right. So, but we're still at the point where you're not really taking responsibility for the position that you put me in.
Hold on.
You still feel justified.
The position
and the way you.
Hold on, Leah. The position that we put you in was a position that off the radio, when I said to you, just for me to off the radio, do what you have to do. If you have to go on that show, go on the show. And I came on the radio the next day, and I said that. I said, I talked to Leo off the radio.
It wasn't that I have to do anything. I don't have to do anything. But the fact is, rude. It was just rude for me to do that, especially on the air.
Rude for you to do what?
To say that I was going to go and then turn around and say, no, I'm not going to go.
Well, I mean,
that's not the right thing to do.
Are you talking about the initial conversation when we said we didn't want you to go on the show?
No, you already knew I was going on. Remember, you called me and you said we're very upset.
What is the rude part? I'm not sure I'm getting it.
I think she's saying the rude part is she had agreed to be on that show. Then we said don't go on the show.
Right.
But then, even if you think it was rude that you canceled, then in a behind the scenes real moment, not radio moment, I said to you, if you got to do it, go ahead and do it.
And it's not that you have to do anything. It's that,
if your boss...
I mean, the truth of the matter is that it would be, we'd deal with it. It would be fine.
If your boss is...
But you didn't say it would be fine. On the air, you said I would never talk to you again. That's what you said on the air.
When? After you went on the show?
No. When I talked to you and I said, I don't know what to do, you guys said, so put it this way. If I do the show... not going to talk to me, said no.
But then after that, off the air, in real life, I remember talking to you. You were on your cell phone in New York, and I said, if you have to do it, then do it. We don't want you to get in trouble with CBS because of us.
Right.
And I came on the air the next day, and I said that.
So that was the reality of the situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, don't you think?
I mean,
I don't know what you said on the air. I mean, you could have said.
I'm telling you what I just said.
So you said Leah had to go. You never. I mean, Do you feel that it was wrong for you two to ask me not to do it after I committed to doing it?
No.
Okay, so that's where we're...
That's like any show. I mean, it's the nature of the competitive posture between the two shows.
Again, I'm not a comic. I'm not a, you know, somebody just started out. And then...
And honey, neither are we.
But that, I understand that. But then what makes me feel bad the most is that you don't look at, like, well, you know, Leah does let us in more than the average person.
Yeah, but and you know what? And you also do a lot of radio shows where it was never an issue.
No,
I mean,
what I'm saying is...
It was this one particular circumstance.
People don't think you did the wrong thing,
No. But
at the same time, you don't acknowledge the fact that, you know, where do I get a break with you two? You know what I'm saying? Where's my break?
Well, hold on. Where's the break? And I acknowledge you've been great to us, and we love you. But where's the break? You tell me another radio show where you could go on for hours, and we have had you on stretches for hours, where we promote your show week in, week out. Whether you're on the show, whether we've talked to you recently, we promote the show, we talk about it on Tuesday after it's been on. You tell me another radio show. I mean, if we're going to be like that, you tell me another radio show that's promoted your TV show like ours has. You can't. And I'll say,
if I haven't gone that, I mean, there was nobody else that I wanted to talk to.
I think
it's a two-way street.
Yeah, it is, and that's right.
Things that we
and
need.
Let's agree on that. It is a two-way street.
And like I said, you've been great to us. You've done so many nice things for us. But I think,
when you say, you know, will you acknowledge that it's wrong in that circumstance when we're talking about a certain radio show and a competitive stature between two radio shows? That one, that is the way we would play it with you, and that is the way we would play it with any other person that was important to us on our show.
Anybody who talks to you on the radio does not go to Howard Stern.
No, anybody who is
any other radio show.
Anybody who is on our show, and we considered you because of your many appearances to be more than a casual guest.
You were important to the show. That's the issue was that you were important to the show,
and you were identified with.
It's not that anybody that we'd have that. Not only do we not have that with anybody else. You know, it's something that was a particular circumstance, and we were being honest with you when we had the discussion on the air. You know, when we said, yeah, we'd prefer if you didn't do it. I remember when you were on the air when we said that. And do we apologize for that? I'll tell you why we don't apologize for that. Because that, unfortunately, the way this business works is the way it works, and it's the way it works with his show. It's the way it works with our show. And you know, when it's a question of...
So anybody who goes on Howard Stern doesn't go on...
No, I didn't say that.
No.
I didn't say that. What I said was anybody that, you know, you are an island unto yourself when it comes to our show.
How many times have you been on the show, really, seriously, like maybe 50 times?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was something that, you know, with your circumstance on this show, it was an isolated circumstance. It was an isolated circumstance.
There are a lot of guests that share between the two shows. We've even had guests on the very same day, like the wrestler Mankind.
And the reason I think that we don't think it's wrong is because off air, Don said, you know, we understand that you got to do what you got to do. Not that you have to do anything. We understand that you got to play it. You know, you got to play politics just like everybody else, probably more so.
But the deal is a wrestler like Mankind or a comedian who goes on our show and Stern's show and goes on Conan O'Brien and every other goddamn radio show, we don't have a relationship with them. But now, you mentioned the fact you were nice enough to let me stay at your house, okay? And we've got all of that history.
Nice enough? I never said I was nice enough to let you stay in my house. I said we were friends.
Don't be offended. You said I was at your house. I'm trying to say something nice here. I'm trying to say that because of the fact that...
But the way you say it is very snide and like I made...
You know, that's
because
it's
not the way I said it.
Well, you know
what I mean?
Maybe we all have to, like, tone down the confrontational nature of this conversation.
But my point is that because you've been on this show so long and we do have so many personal moments with you that have been shared on the radio, you are more than just, to us, you are more than just a guest who hops from show to show to show.
And I don't do that. But generally
you don't. But in this case, you did, and you did with the guy who...
Yeah, you know, the issue is, do we feel a little territorial? Was that maybe out of line? I don't know. But the fact is, yeah, we did feel territorial.
It's not about territorial. It's about... You know, the stuff that goes on behind the scenes that people don't really know about. You know what I'm saying?
What stuff?
What
stuff behind the scenes?
like the backstory, the politics, and the crap that people don't are not usually
what?
Involved in. Like me, I'm not usually involved in the inner workings of your politics.
And it was and it was an S storm, and I understand it was an S storm.
What's that?
I mean, everything that you went through during that period of time was a difficult situation, and it was a difficult situation on the air for us as well, because when you do a show like this, you have to posture yourself, you have to present yourself in a certain way, you have to be, you know, the way radio shows work, it's who's the biggest swinging you know what, and that's the way we have to position it on the air, and it's the nature of the business. Is it great? No, it's not great. You know, I will tell you that you know, down here, you know, the one rung above circus clowns on the showbiz ladder, we got to play it differently. And
if I do Rick D's morning show,
then we would actually.
We don't care.
We would drive you to the station.
And I told you that I don't care. Rick D's.
So that's okay.
Kevin and Dean.
So do you see that that's a little odd? It's like you have
no.
Saying,
no. Again,
you know, you're our girl.
No.
You can do other radio
we
shows.
Have,
just not this one.
We have a history with this guy. With that
this
one
guy, this guy is friends, best friends with the owner of the station, is on my same network.
Great.
Somebody
then,
that I made already had
let me tell you something. We are aware of that fact too, and you know that's you know that we've dealt with that for forever as you know as long as we've been with this company.
Right.
You know what? So he's best friends with the owner. We're pretty good friends with the owner.
Right.
We're not best friends with the owner.
But do you understand it's not about that? What it is about is the relationship between the two shows.
There is bad...
From the very day we started with this company.
There is bad blood between the two shows, and that bad blood runs...
Anybody that listens to our show knows that there always has been...
It runs both ways. It runs from him to us and from us to him.
And that's why everything happened. That's the reason. It's not really about... Go on any show you want. It's that particular circumstance. That's why all this S happened.
But I guess it's not that big of a deal if off the air Don said, I understand, you know, do what you got to do.
And then you know something?
You know,
then we all heard the show. We got.
Then you turned around and said, I kissed his ass.
Well, you know what happened? Let me tell you what happened with that.
It sounded that way.
We got about 50 phone calls that day. And every single one of them was, you know, was making this thing, you know, as big as they can make it. Oh, you know, she's that guy's best friend right now. We dealt with that for a whole day after you were on that show. And it was, you know, it was a bad situation for us.
Best friend. I mean, listen.
I'm telling you what listeners called us with the following day. That's
because
what
they're
I'm
pissing your ass. If you said I did a great job, then you get 50 calls that said Leah did a great job. You know, there's people who are followers, and there's people who think for themselves.
I know you're talking about
there's
the
people
listeners,
out there
right?
who think, you know what, Leah is working. You know, Leah's not
Listen.
Having lunch and breakfast with Howard Stern or calling Howard Stern every day. Leah had to do a job. Leah did it. She loves you. You know, there's people who know the difference.
I heard a love. I heard a love you in there.
What?
I heard a Leah loves you in there.
But but you should know the difference.
You don't love us anymore, do you?
Well, I don't think you know the difference between the way I treat you and the way I would treat a Howard Stern or the way I would treat a Rick Dean.
Well, what, you
and I have nothing against them, but I would never
continually
call these people or have them call me or have breakfast or lunch or dinner with them. I do a radio show. It's over. Bye. See you later.
Okay.
They all know that Don and Mike are my guys. I love you guys.
But
you could do anything you want to. If you want to stay in my house, you want to be in the show, you want to hang out with my house, I don't care.
Okay, but
Howard Stern, not the same story. Rick D's, not the same story.
Okay,
so it hurts me that you two don't know the difference.
But what hurts me is that you don't know the difference that of all the disc jockeys you just mentioned, Howard Stern is the one guy who we hate. He's the one guy who, for the last 15 years, spends all of his spare time saying that we wouldn't have careers if it wasn't for him. And that
Who cares?
Leah,
you have careers.
Leah, listen, it's not the same. You don't have actresses running around, you know, saying, you know, the girl from Everybody Loves Raymond doesn't run around and say, well, Leah Remedy wouldn't have a job if I wasn't Raymond's wife first.
I mean, day in, day out, it's different. It is different, and it sucks.
I understand this point. I understand this one point that you're saying. I don't have the backstory. When I made the initial, when I said okay in the beginning, I didn't have all the backstory that you're giving me now in bits and pieces. I know you didn't like him. I know there was some weird things going on. But I didn't know, and I still don't know, all the backstory. If Patricia Heaton was saying things like that to me,
you kick
about
her ass.
Me publicly,
you kick her ass.
That people knew about, what?
You'd kick her ass.
I would kick her ass, and I wouldn't want you talking to her. That is the truth.
Okay, but and that, then that's...
If she was talking publicly about me.
That is
I don't know the backstory 100%.
Okay, well, all right,
I don't know what is radio and what she's
wait.
Sell
you,
a show
you don't
and
know?
What is serious.
Okay, I'm telling you, what comes out of the radio is all we can go by. What comes out of the radio, I don't care if you like us or you don't like us. We're pretty honest. I mean, we're doing
no,
a show.
No, wait a minute. Did you get my point there?
Yeah, I got your point.
I got your point.
What she's saying, and I think that we have reached, I hope, a consensus that you hopefully, you know, I understand your situation from what you've said, and I know that you were upset. I hope now at least you understand, you know, especially when you were saying before, you know, you don't find anything wrong with that, but now you understand where we're coming from on that particular circumstances.
Right, but do you understand that when I made the initial confirmation that I didn't know
absolutely.
The seriousness...
Yes. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. John, do you understand
yes.
that?
Yes, I do, 100%.
Okay, so then when I canceled, after talking about it on the air, do you think that that was appropriate?
For you to cancel? Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Mike? All right.
Sure I do.
Yeah, of course.
Okay, I don't think it's appropriate to cancel after the fact.
Okay, listen, you
know mean
what?
I mean cancel after you're booked?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it depends.
But it happens. We have people cancel on us all the time.
And that's not cool.
He has people cancel on him all the time.
You know, and
it
you
doesn't
know,
matter.
As
we
far...
talked about it on the radio.
Right.
They knew why I was canceled.
Well, and that's what caused the whole S-storm, and I understand.
And that just gets back to the point of that he's just as petty as we are, that we talked about it. You canceled.
Yeah.
So then he went crying to whoever he went to at CBS and said, well, she's canceling because they asked her to cancel.
I understand that. But in the end, you will always win. You will always be my favorite, and I hope that that's... The same with you guys.
Well, you know,
because
really.
I did something at the time that I felt was the right professional thing to do. Shouldn't reflect on our friendship. If you told me at dinner, at the Daily Grill, you know, whatever, hey, Lee, really, besides the, you know, the joking around, this person really means this, and this to me. In the future, you got to tell me, did Rick Dees do you wrong? Because I would never make the commitment to do it in the first place.
Okay, all right, we're fine with
you
it.
You got to tell me beforehand.
Okay, well,
and
then
I will back you up.
We'll be right back.
All right.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Is she hot, or is she just delivery person hot? This bottom line is for me. Is she hot enough that you might think about it while you're having sex with Carrie?
Think about other women while I'm having sex with my wife?
Oh, sure. So what do you think about?
I think about my marriage vows and the life we built together.
funny stuff, funny stuff.
The Don and Mike Show. Vintage goodness. It's the best of Don and Mike.
It is the best of Don and Mike with your old buddy Rob Spiewak here playing the tapes, and we're in the middle of a real spirited discussion. Is that what I can call it? Yeah. A spirited discussion with television star Leah Remini, and let's get right back to it. I enjoy stuff like this. Makes me uncomfortable. Makes me feel all oogie inside. It's Leah Remini on the best of Don and Mike.
It is nice having you on the show, and you have been on the show a lot, and we do have this business relationship, but we, just so you know, it is not lost on us what, you know, what the relationship we've had with you, you know, above and beyond, and what you've done.
As evidenced by the fact that how special we feel about you.
Yeah, really. I mean, going out.
Believe me, I know what you've done for me at this show.
No.
Not even
what we've done. I'm talking about how special we think you are.
I mean, the biggest disappointment in all of this crap, if this relationship was not salvageable for me, really, and I know I speak for everybody that's had contact with you on the show,
is not that you wouldn't be on the show anymore. It's not that we wouldn't go out to California and do a cameo or a little extra role on The King of Queens. The fact is that, you know, you are a genuinely fun person to hang out with. You're a good person, and you've been, I think, I've always felt you've done a lot of this out of friendship.
Yeah, you are a great friend.
And that's what sucked out of all this.
Well, you're a great friend, and we hope that you consider us still to be good friends to you.
I do.
Really, we do.
I mean, we fight, we go through our things, but I never want you to think that I'm a kiss-ass or that I'm loyal to you, because that's the worst thing to me. That is the worst possible thing to me, that you would think that of me as a person. If I had done it over again, Don, I would have seriously called you at home, or Mike called you at home and said, what do you want me to do? I'm about to do this show.
Well, you know what, and I think it's the worst thing that because you didn't know all of the back stuff that I would do that to you, because you didn't know the incredible amount of history between the shows.
Mm-hmm.
So in the future, yeah, I would have called you off the air and said, listen, hey, you know what, you know, this guy's poison to us. I would have.
Yeah, but even prior to that, I mean, it's like, you got to tell me before. You know how these things get booked. If I'm going to Chicago,
really,
you know they're going to book me on certain shows.
You know, really, you know, and the history we have. We have feuds with disc jockeys all the time. We have had
but
feuds with
disc jockeys. But you got to tell me.
But you know what? This is the only one.
Give me the chance beforehand to say, you know what?
The thing is, we have feuds with disc jockeys all the time.
But he's the only one that really, for the better part of all the years we've been on this show, that you know, day in, day out, you know, in the company, outside of the company, we hear that name. And from the word go, it was started on a negative footing. And it's, you know, it's never, we know it's never going to change, you know, and nor do we care. I mean, that's just the way it is. And believe me, this does not exist with, you know, radio shows all over the country. It doesn't. So, I mean, the answer to your question is it's not something that, you know, you need any background on, because there isn't any background other than that particular circumstance.
Basically, what you're saying to me is the one shot I had to show my loyalty to you, I shot.
No, because and I'll take responsibility for this, because you didn't know all of the background. So we should just let that go.
And you made a decision, and then once, the gates of hell opened up on that particular thing, you did what you had to do. It was nothing, it was not anything where, you know, it just, I'm glad that it's passed, I'm glad that it's over, but that, hopefully all the circumstances have been explained now, really. I hope they have.
Okay.
I mean, listen, I speak for myself. I love you.
Right.
I know Frida is very fond of you. She doesn't love you like I love you.
Frida won't like that you've said you love her.
But I love Leah as I love Leah, you know.
But I mean, you both as well.
Non-sexual.
I love you.
But
it's really beyond it. We will tell you right now, it is, and for people that are listening that are saying, you know, hey, what are you going on and on about this? The fact of the matter is, it is a little bit, I think the reason you've been on and stayed as long as you have so many times is because it's a little beyond the radio. It's really, there's an extra spring in our step when we have you on the show. It's a lot of fun to talk to you, you know, regardless of promoting this or promoting that. It's just, we have moments, more moments that are just funny and
you're an honest goddamn girl.
Spontaneous.
You really say what you think, and then you say what you mean, and you mean what you say, and this business, the stupid radio business, at least, that's very rare.
Right.
And, you know, pardon us for being territorial.
Oh, and I love, believe me, I love our relationship, but I just don't want you to think that I do anything intentional because I'm kissing somebody's ass.
No. Well, then I take that back, and can we then now be friends again?
Yes, and I apologize.
And I apologize.
To you,
we apologize. I apologize to you also.
I didn't kiss apologize.
I apologize.
I stop both of your answers.
Buzz, would you like to apologize?
I miss you tremendously.
I'd like to apologize.
I really love you guys.
And we miss you.
Leah,
I'm serious.
Leah, Buzz would like to apologize. I'd like
for
to
what?
Apologize, too.
He has no reason to.
I'm sure there's something.
Leah, you know what? He said the meanest stuff of all.
Yeah, yeah.
Buzz was horrible.
Buzz. They're doing
did
it to me
Buzz?
Again. No,
Buzz?
I didn't, Leah. Buzz? They're framing me.
Buzz said the worst stuff about you.
Right? Never. I would never do that.
I want to know, did anybody defend me when you had 50 callers calling and bashing me?
Christ, I've got...
Really... Charlie,
no, no,
yeah. Anybody.
No, not on the show, okay,
no.
but I will tell you that there were people that called up that did, that said, hey, it wasn't like that at all. I listened to the show.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Well, that's
of course.
Nice.
All right. Well, it's the truth.
It is.
That's very nice.
Rob, would you like to apologize to Leah?
Yeah, and I take it back. Buzz was not the meanest. Rob was the cruelest.
Yeah, not even
counting
the stuff I felt in my heart.
What'd you say?
Rob, speak to the woman.
Leah, I'm very sorry.
What did you say?
I said nothing.
No, he's lying.
No, he's lying.
Actually, he wrote most of it on note cards.
Yeah, horrible.
I've journaled for pages, volumes.
No, we're kidding.
Did he say anything or not?
No, he didn't.
No, we're kidding.
No, he's kidding. We're just kidding.
Don't apologize, Rob. You're just being a man then.
No, apologize to her, Rob.
I'm very sorry. Sorry about
everything. Apology means nothing if he's done nothing.
Right. Well, no, he was a participant.
we're all sorry about what happened.
Yeah, I'm sorry about the whole circumstance, and I'm glad that we can move by it. Can we move by it?
Yes, okay. Please, Wes.
Thank you.
Hey.
Can we be friends again?
Are you still with Angelo?
Yes.
All right.
Well, that's
but
great.
But here's the thing. It's been a month since I've quit smoking.
Really?
Oh, I got news for you. Wow. It's been approximately 30 minutes since Mike quit smoking.
Mike, you didn't start again.
No, I quit. I quit, and then I started up again.
He is lighting up.
Well, Mike, then you didn't quit.
He's lighting up
again.
He's lighting up right now in the studio.
Well, Mike, how long was it, Don, that he quit?
I quit for about a week.
I should have bet you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
I should have bet you. And as a matter of fact, he's not even smoking brand name. He's smoking generic cigarettes.
My sister-in-law gave these to me because my sister-in-law said they're just like Marlboro Ultralights.
No, they're crap.
And gave me
You gotta stop smoking. If I could stop smoking, you could stop smoking. It's been a month.
I know.
It's been over a month that I quit smoking.
I will try. I can't quit drinking, though.
Really?
No, I will not quit drinking. A man has his limitations. I need my vices.
You gotta have something.
Absolutely.
You gotta have something.
Now that we're back to being friends, I hope I can say this to you. I find it hard to believe you've not smoked for a month.
You think I'm lying to you?
I find it very hard to believe. Now don't get mad at me, because we're back to being friends now.
I'm not going to get mad at you, but let me ask you a question. Don't you hear a little bit more antagonism than usual?
I thought maybe...
And I don't have my period.
All
I just got over my period.
All right, that's what I thought. Okay.
No.
Congratulations.
Huh?
Congratulations. I always thought it was sexy when you smoked.
No, I gotta stop. I mean, really, it was Shannon. It was my little sister who she stayed. Remember when Angela went out of town for like a month?
Yeah.
She stayed with me, and she heard me coughing at night, and she got very upset. And she had to leave me a note that said, you know, I'd like to have a meeting with you if I can tomorrow. So I sat with her, and she just started crying.
Mm-hmm.
She just started crying.
Well,
I hear you coughing at night. And that was really enough for me to quit.
I know I'm going to get in trouble. I'm going to sound like Joe Camel here, but I just want to say I think it's goddamn sexy when you smoke.
Thank you, sweetie.
He says the same thing to me, Leah.
And Mike, you are incredibly sexy when you smoke.
I'm smoking it.
Well, I'll smoke for you. Huh?
Oh, thank you.
And okay. Leah, we're officially friends, and then I apologize and forget all about the crap with Big Bird.
We have to put everything in the past.
All right, let's do that.
All right, very good.
Beautiful. Yes. Then
who have you been talking to now?
Who did we have on?
Who would be the biggest celebrity that we've had on?
Peter Tork of the Monkees.
Right,
No. Who have you talked to in my kind of category?
I just gave it to you.
There is no category.
Peter Tork of the Monkees. Beaver Cleaver.
You've had no females on the show.
It sucked.
No.
How have you been filling your time?
It's just...
Well, we've had Frida on a lot.
What?
Frida's been on a lot.
How is Frida? Does she miss me at all?
Yeah, she does. No, she doesn't. As a matter of fact, she was yelling at me today, saying, if you're going to talk to Leah, you know, be nice.
Well, I think that's why you two get along as well as you do.
Can't say.
Oh, there you go. You were just deleted again.
Leah, see, and when you say that, they cut out like 10 seconds of the show, so you just got to say a-hole.
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 How's your mom?
What?
How's your mom?
My mom is very well.
Very good.
Oh, you.
I'm.
What?
Nothing. I was just asking how your mom
was
doing.
You're starting something there now.
I'm not starting anything.
You're starting something.
What, Mike? What
I'm
are you
not
think?
Starting anything.
What?
No, you remember the whole thing when we were talking about your mom and what did Leah's mom say?
She said I'm hateful.
Hateful. That's right. It was a joke. That's why I said that.
Oh, who said? She said you were hateful, right, Don?
Yes.
Yeah. Was that true though?
No. Well, no. Don is hateful.
I don't think I'm hateful.
But she thinks she has a very dark side to you.
Right. Well, and vice versa. and vice versa.
And you're absolutely right.
Yeah. No. Well, listen. All right.
But you'll admit it.
And so do I. There's a dark, evil side to me.
Dark, evil, in the recesses.
There's a dark, evil side to all of us, don't you think?
Not me.
No?
Oh, no, not the golden boy.
only when I'm drinking scotch.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's every day?
Only like at 2 in the morning when
I thought you didn't like scotch. I thought scotch.
No, that's why I don't drink scotch anymore, because I don't. That's the reason.
It's an anger.
And the only thing I would do, the dark side comes out. You will admit this is true. The dark side really comes out against people I don't like to start with.
Yeah,
that's what happens.
When you drink.
When I drink, that's what. If there's somebody I don't like, Steve Johnson, going in.
Who is that?
He's a sales guy that works here, and he saw the dark side of the Super Bowl.
And see, if it's me, I'm the opposite. If I've had a lot to drink,
he'll love him.
I will hug him and say, you're my buddy.
Right.
You know, I go
really?
Opposite. Yeah, I'm the opposite.
Very
way.
Warm.
Right.
Opposite way. So, listen, so we're friends.
Yes.
We love you. We want to have you back on the show as much as you want to be on the show.
You know, you still have carte blanche. Anytime, anything you want to talk about at all, whenever.
All right. Thank you.
I do want to tell you something important, though, off the radio that has nothing to do with what we've just been talking about.
All right.
Can you hold on for just a second?
But I love you guys.
We love you, too.
And I'm glad to talk to you again. I really did miss you.
I feel extremely relieved.
I'm going to tell her the thing.
Yeah, tell her the thing.
Yeah, I'm going to tell her the thing.
And do it when we go to break.
No, I'm going to do it now.
I thought, you know, I would lose my concentration.
I'm going to put her on hold and tell her the thing.
Okay.
I feel extremely relieved. I was very much worried when this started that it wasn't going to go well, and
but you know what?
I'm very relieved.
A great segment with Leah. She screamed. We screamed. We had to delete her out about 5 times. And,
right.
Look at now. She's our friend again.
Everything's fine.
Yay. Okay. Can you hold on, please?
Yes.
Okay. I'll be right back.
Okay.
Well, there she is. TV's Leah Remini.
Very good.
See, it worked out fine.
Oh boy.
Wow. Everything worked out fine.
Oh dear.
And you thought I was going to blow it.
Everything's fine.
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Bitty piddling amount like 3 cents to a worthy cause like the underprivileged children's drive. I was reading here just the other day where there's somewhere like 400 needy boys in this county alone, or 1.5 boys per square mile.
There he is?
There sure is.
I never seen one, Paul.
Never seen one what?
A half boy.
Well, it's not really a half a boy. It's a ratio.
Horatio who?
Not Horatio, a ratio. It's mathematics. Arithmetic. Look, now, Opie, just forget that part of it. Forget the part about the hack boy.
It's pretty hard to forget a thing like that, Paul.
Well, try.
Or Horatio.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program, The Best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Teeth. It is The Best of Don and Mike. We just finished up a great sort of fight with a resolution between Don and Mike and Leah Remini. Let's keep the good fight feeling going. It's not that common that Don and Mike have a set to, but they did have a pretty good fight a few years back, and here's the recap. I remember this one. This is pretty great. It's Don and Mike fighting on The Best of Don and Mike.
Mike and I rarely fight.
We had a good one yesterday.
We had a blowout yesterday.
We made a scene.
Yes,
you know,
did.
I was thinking about that after the bet. We actually made a scene like a couple of women.
Here's the setup. We're leaving the WJFK radio station to go to Union Station to take the train up to New York because it's so effed up to fly, right?
Right.
Well, See, now I hesitate. I'm not going to say how fast you were going.
No, I will jump in here if I feel I need to defend myself.
Mike was in a car with Buzz and Lisa, and Rob and I were following in the car behind, and it appeared as because Mike was leading the way to the train station. We didn't know how to get there.
Right.
It was apparent that Mike was in a pinball machine.
Robin said to me before you left, I was aware that you were behind me, but Rob had asked, do you take 66 to 395, and then you take the exit off 395?
I don't know what I asked.
What
I
did
asked
you ask?
You take 66 to Constitution.
Oh, I thought you said 395.
One of the states.
You were asking directions. I thought I gave you the right directions. So, I mean, I didn't realize that I had to be going that slowly.
Well, okay, well, hold on. You weren't going that slowly.
No, I wasn't
going.
Because I wasn't. What I'm saying was
you were flying.
It wasn't in my mind that you were. I thought that Rob had knew how to get there.
I had a vague idea, but at a totally different approach than you took.
Okay,
so.
All right.
So we're in the car and
good approach, wasn't it?
We're on 66.
Hold on, that's a bad approach.
And I'm trying to follow Mike, and right. I mean it's like it's a pinball. It's left lane, cut over, right lane, get boxed in, middle lane, left lane.
Buzz was there. He was my shotgun, and we were doing well under adverse situations.
I may have actually fueled the fire. I don't know.
Thank you, Buzz. I wasn't going to mention that, but Buzz and I guess share a desire to get through the traffic, and it was really the slowest getting out of where our studios are. It was the slowest it's ever been. And at that point, I said, we got a motor to get there.
And, well, you did.
I did. And
I had a hard time keeping up with you. I won't mention the speed that you reached.
Well, the speed will always forever be a source of dispute between both of us. Because, I mean, I realized that I was certainly not necessarily obeying all posted speed limits, but I also don't believe that I was in the Kirk-like mode that you had suggested.
Well, I'm driving a new car.
I understand.
And either my speedometer screwed up,
right,
or that's how fast. But listen, I'm not here to argue the speed.
Well, then I have very little else to argue if you don't want to argue the speed.
No. Listen, you just scared the S out of me. You drive it like this, and I'm trying to follow you.
Right.
So we get downtown to where the train station is. Amazingly, we make it in like 27 minutes,
which is pretty normal for me.
Would that be an indication of how fast the cars were moving?
Now, we get down there, and because of security reasons, you can't park where I normally park. And I actually have this regular route that I go. And as soon as I see that, I'm like, what the hell to do here? And so I see there's a lot right next to Union Station, so we'll go down there. So we pull into this lot, and the guy says to me in the lot, he says, is he with you? And he
my
looks
car,
near your car, and I said,
at this point,
yes,
I'm still behind Mike.
Said, well, you two can park right up there. So I pull up the car, and then I turn around, and you have vanished, and
well,
I don't know where you went.
Listen,
I have no idea where you went.
I am not. Why not just put my car out there with a sign on it that says "Steal it now"? It's a new car. It was not the best of neighborhoods in which you
that
were
we
parking.
Can agree. That we can agree. Well, it's the neighborhood where Union Station is, and it's right next to Union Station.
But I know that somewhere around there they've got a regular parking garage that has a roof on it and junk.
I didn't know that. You see, the only garage I was aware of was the one that was cordoned off, really, and the one that you couldn't use. So
we pull into this parking lot where I'm picturing hookers and crackheads and they're taking the tires off my car, and I get back and there's nothing but a shell. So at that point, we just take off, and Rob and I, now this is where we're idiots, driving around Union Station, around the train station, trying to find the garage. And as you mentioned, the main entrance to the garage had been blocked off.
How long did it take you guys to drive around and find a garage?
About 15 minutes.
Ooh.
See, now, to find the main garage for Union Station.
I will say now is because it took you that long, I am personally responsible for you guys making the train.
Listen, you know what? I would rather have missed the train than gone through the crap of trying to keep up with you and follow you.
I understand, but I mean, since you went off...
As you bounced and bounced from left lane to right lane, left lane, right lane.
You have, because you were, keeping up, and you did manage to keep up almost, you actually got
almost
down there. You got down there in enough time to get lost finding a parking garage.
Oh, now, hey, hold on, wait a minute.
You never got lost.
You're going to bust my balls about this? I'm going to say how fast you were driving.
Well, we disagree on how fast I was driving.
You were going over 100 miles an hour.
And that truck, I have never had that truck over 100 miles.
You were going over 100 miles an hour.
No.
Yes.
We will agree to disagree. It's absolutely patently untrue. I was never going over the speed of... You may have gotten up to 100 miles an hour in your zeal to catch up with me.
And how could I possibly have gotten so far behind you if I had to go 100 miles an hour to catch up to you?
It can happen easily. You can be like 8 car lengths, and you know, you can spike the accelerator and shoot up to 100 miles per hour.
It was me going 100 miles an hour, not you. Okay,
well, I'm just going to tell you that that was the source of our scene on the train when you said to me that, you know, I was going over 100 miles an hour, and I told you I wasn't.
We get to the train, we find the parking garage, Rob and I do, we make it on the train, we go in, we sit down on the train.
You barely made it on the train.
Yeah.
It was like 5 or 4 and the train was leaving at 4.
Thank you to the guy with the tire.
Oh, yeah, hold on. We got to tell you about the great security at Union Station with all the stuff you're hearing about the increased security. We must tell you about that in a second. We sit down. Mike says, hey, I got a seat for you.
Yeah, three people had come by, and I'd said, you know when people want to sit down on a train? The trains, of course, are packed right now, and I said, no, this seat's taken, and I always hate it when you have to do that because they think you're lying. They don't think you're holding the seat for somebody.
I was so pissed off I got on that train. Mike says, hey, I saved the seat for you. He's sitting there real happy, and he's like, got all this stuff set out, and he says, hey, I saved the seat for you. And
driving!
I said, don't you ever bust my balls about the way I drive.
Right.
That was the worst driving ever. And then it said, you're going 100 miles an hour, you scare the S out of me, and then, you know, a reference to Rob, and then I...
Then he got mad. Then he got mad and said, I'm going to go sit someplace else.
F you, I'm sitting someplace else.
So I apologize about that, Rob.
I go and I sat down, you know, 10 rows away and sat with some other guy, and
who apologized.
Okay, you did. Okay, but the driving was not the greatest.
Well, my driving was not... I'm not going to dispute for a second that I was not driving reasonably. I was driving, a little faster than you're supposed to.
Yeah, okay.
But I just thought, all I'm saying is the speed, and that got me mad because I was like, I'd gone through these three people.
Okay,
and,
but hold on. What about the left lane, then the middle lane, then the right lane, then...
Yeah.
And remember
when we were going down, like, the last time we came to New York, and you were trying to get to the 3:30 flight, and I'm trying to get to the train?
Right.
And, that was the, it's the way I do, because, I mean, sometimes I've actually gotten to the train station with maybe 10 minutes to spare when you hit traffic on 395. So, yes, I do hustle because we have pretty tight connections.
So I was pissed because I...
You were furious.
I was you scared the F out of me trying to follow you down
But
there.
I think that it was a combination. All I want to tell you, and I want to ask you this, okay? And I don't want you to get mad at me when I ask you this.
Ask away.
I do believe that, I was unfair for saying, your butt buddy, and that got you mad, and I'm sorry about that, and I apologized about that. But I just want to throw this theory out here. With part of the reason, I mean, I know you were mad at me because I was driving too fast, but was part of it also that that you got down there?
No.
And the parking situation?
No, but because as a matter of fact, I had
said it was all me.
I had said to my butt buddy when I was driving around and we were on the telephone with my wife,
yes,
two morons saying to her, "Where's the parking garage?" I said to Rob, "You know what? I'm afraid we're going to have to catch the 5 o'clock train."
Right.
So I had already dismissed any thought of even making the 4 o'clock train.
Okay.
So no, my anger was strictly at you.
Yes.
So we get on the train,
and then it was wonderful because then I came over and I said, "Hey, I'm sorry about calling Rob your butt buddy." And you got up from the chair, and then we had the wonderfully awkward moment of two chairs just
facing
across
each other
after we've had this womanly spat causing a scene, which I'm sure entertained the ladies sitting in back of us.
So we're sitting there. We're sitting there, and I was still pissed. Even though you had apologized, I was still pissed.
That's when you went out to call. I don't know who you called, but you went out and you called somebody.
Oh, I didn't want to make a call in front of you.
It seems like, excuse me.
Hold on. Mike, I bet we had to delete that out. While that word may have been used, you can't say that word on the radio, Mr. Romero.
You can't say that word. Well, it's true. I knew what you were doing. It's not like I didn't know what you were doing.
What do you want me to do? Sit in front of you and call my wife and say, "God damn, I can't believe how mad I am at Mike."
You were very angry.
I excused myself. I went to the back of the train and I got on the phone.
You're not so angry that you didn't, come back and sit down. And I knew you were mad. And it was just extraordinarily awkward. Believe it or not, we do not fight that often.
No, we don't.
Because when we do fight, it's like that. It's rather meteoric when we do fight.
So I mean, I'm still pissed. And then the lady comes over and she says, "Do you want a drink?" And
this is what I need, like a hole in the head.
And now, for me, this was, I'm sorry, worked out perfect for me.
Of course it did.
I'm still mad at you.
And then I'm mad. And then, I didn't share it with you, but then I'm just
white hot at this point.
I'm mad at you.
Seething.
I'm mad at you, and the lady comes up, even though you've come up and apologized, and we're sitting together. And
but apparently when I got up, I'm watching you sit up in front of me. And I'm like, all right, I'll go apologize.
And all right, you pushed a lady out of the way.
And apparently, you know what? I was so focused. I'm just walking up and saying, hey, listen, just come back here. I'm sorry. Sit down. That I apparently had gone by this lady and pushed her to the side, and I didn't even know it. About the conductor.
A lady who works for Amtrak, and she comes back, and she...
And then she does this spiel on me.
See, this is so great, because I'm already looking at Mike. Even though, you know, we're not fighting anymore, I'm still pissed, and he's pissed that I was pissed, and we're just kind of sitting there staring at each other, and the woman says, would you like a drink? And we say, yes.
Showdown!
And then the woman looks at Mike, and Mike says, you know, I'd like a Coke.
And then she goes into this, you know when people want to confront, but they don't want to confront?
She says, and the first thing she said was vague, like, you didn't have to be that way with me.
Yeah, you know, normally if you're going to go by someone, you might want to just say, I have to get by, or I'm like, and I'm looking at her, and I'm still dealing with our crap, and I'm going... What? And I mean, was I wrong in not understanding what she was trying to say?
No, I don't think that you knew that you had pushed the lady aside.
Thank you. And I appreciate that.
And,
under the circumstances, I appreciate it.
The lady's standing there, and she won't let it go.
Mm-hmm.
She says to Mike, Mike's like, yeah, I'd like a regular Coca-Cola, please. And she says, I just don't think it's right. It's not polite. You push me out of the way.
Right.
And again, he's looking at her like, what the F are you talking about?
Yeah, I had no idea what you meant.
And he said, and I think you said that, ma'am, I have no idea what you're talking about. She goes, when you were making your way up the aisle, you pushed me out of the way. There's no call for that.
Oh.
And at that point, I see that then it registers with you that, oh, yeah, maybe you did it. And
yeah, because I have no clue that I've done that.
And then that's a moment
where
on the inside.
You're enjoying every minute of it.
I'm dancing.
Oh, I know
I'm
you
thinking,
were. I know.
Oh, my God.
It was like you had just, like, just, you know, we just had the dispute about facts, and there I was again saying, I have no memory of it. I mean, it was perfect
and
for
then,
you.
Then here's what Mike says. This is what I love. He says to the lady, hey, you know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, my second apology in 15 minutes.
Says, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to push you. And your apology was heartfelt, and mm-hmm. I believe she took it, although we thought later she might have spit your food. Oh, so the lady walks away, and then Mike looks at me and goes, is everybody against me today?
Oh.
Yeah, like, is everybody against you?
Oh, and I felt that carried well into the evening. You know, that carried into talking to my wife. You know, everybody hates me. Yeah, I did. It's just I didn't win at poker either when we played poker. On the train,
nobody
and you know,
won.
I know nobody draw. Really won. But Rob, you understand, I was feeling completely. It's just the combination of the whole day and you know all. You know what? I think overall on trains, planes, automobiles, everywhere in this country right now, it is not exactly what I would call stress free traveling around this country.
I disagree. And before we get back to the argument, I have to tell you why. But you're talking about people being stressed out on public transportation and the high level of security.
Yeah.
I will tell you, and I saw a story this morning on the Today Show where they were saying that at Amtrak they're checking IDs and they have some armed guards on certain trains.
So.
When Rob and I arrived at Union Station, parked
right.
in the garage, we got into the elevator. We didn't know where we're going. We said to the guy, we're taking the Acela train. Some guy who works for Amtrak gets on this elevator.
Elevator.
A very small, and he's holding a tire in his hand, a tire to an automobile. And he says, what train are you on? We said, the 4 o'clock to New York. He said, oh, stay with me. I'll show you a shortcut to get there. Now, keep in mind, there never, when we walk into the train station,
right.
no one stops us to look at our IDs, and this guy, who was nice enough, I mean, I'm kind of busting his balls, ratting him out here, he takes us inside the bowels of Union Station to a secret little inside, if you only work there, route.
Like a hallway.
Yeah, and he takes us down this private elevator, and he says, now, great, if you walk right through there, there's your train right there.
God.
We walk on the train.
Oh, my God.
Nobody stops us.
Oh
nobody has to look at our ID.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
There's one concern on the Amtrak train. Do not talk on the quiet car.
Yes, don't talk on the quiet car. Job one.
So, the guy at Union Station, the guy who works for Amtrak, was very nice. You know, but for all he knows, Rob and I could have been, you know, nut jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But he brought us down back through a back way, brought us through an employee entrance, and there's your train right there.
Yeah.
Good luck. Thanks for, you know, for right now. We're like, hey, great. Thanks for not holding us up by checking our IDs or looking in the many bags of equipment that we're bringing with us.
You know, I was reading about an article about Amtrak today and what they're doing, and they said that what I don't understand is if you prepay a ticket, they're not going to look at your ID. And that doesn't make a lot of sense to
doesn't.
Me. You know, if you go and buy the ticket at there, of course, they're going to check your ID. I think they do that anyway. So, I mean, I'm not sure. The only thing I saw that was different, because I take the train all the time, is the presence of police officers on the track itself. All and right. then right before you guys got there, there was a guy that did, you know, the walkthrough, and he was pretty thorough, like checking people, looking at every seat, and he had, you know, I like to see him packing. I like to see him packing the heap.
I would just like anybody to know that if, you know, I hope Amtrak is listening.
Yeah, I agree with you.
If the bad guys are out there,
mm-hmm.
what you do is you walk into the train station 5 minutes before the train.
Oh, jeez, stop it. You're freaking me out.
You find yourself some nice, kindly guy in a Captain Kangaroo outfit carrying a tire who just takes you right through all security.
Now you're scaring me, man.
Just brings you right down to the train and says, there you go.
Right.
Well, the whole system is flawed because they don't take your ticket until you're like, underway.
Yeah.
I mean, how are they going to check it if you have it? This is like,
well, they check it. See, you guys got in. What they do is they check it at the, you know, when you can't get on the train, when you go through, you guys went right out to the track. From
yes,
where
we
you
did.
You have to have
it's
a
amazing.
Ticket. You have to have a ticket
that's
or a
amazing
tire.
Because, I mean, really.
In this time of heightened security.
They did do it a little differently when we were there. You know, they did slow us up. And they check your train before you go through the double doors. I can't believe that.
I mean, Robin,
I really can't, you guys. I mean, that is. That's they big. Ought to tidy that up a little
I swear to God.
Just understand there's a hallway that can the parking garage to the track.
Oh, terrific.
Find that hallway.
And the guy was like, hey, you want to come in? Come on, let's go.
I'll get
you down there. And we go through this.
Of course, you know, you two together, I've never considered you to look very threatening.
No, of course, no.
You know, I mean, you know, if you're going to let a couple of guys in, I'd let you in. You know?
we get on the train, and I had a fight with Mike, and the lady comes up. And
you know, and then we did immediately compensate, though, which was pretty funny. You know, as you ordered your vodka and I ordered my wine and just slammed them back.
And
then things got all better after that.
Good. Well, no, I was still mad.
I know you were mad.
I was still mad.
You're mad today a little bit, just a tiny little bit.
No,
still a little
bit mad. I'm not so much mad now that we're letting it out now.
But you're mad just about the speed thing because I know you have to understand me. I have to defend myself, but I know it's making you more angry. And I will give you this. I have apologized for that.
But he looked in at the speedometer when we were right behind you.
Right.
105.
Okay, that's fine. But I don't doubt that your speedometer might have said 105. I'm not going to dispute that fact. I'm going to tell you that. I don't want to get into it again. You're going to get mad at me again, and I'm not into that.
Listen,
I apologize for calling you.
I've been years of ball busting on the show about my driving.
Yes.
Your driving yesterday, the way down to the train station, was the worst driving I've ever seen in my life. And I want to tell you, you have a taillight out.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Buzz, did you at any time feel non-safe in my car yesterday in the automobile?
No, I wouldn't go that far.
Really?
I wouldn't say.
Oh, then you could
unsafe.
Obviously. Well, you couldn't see. You were the front. You couldn't see Lisa's hand gripping whatever it was the headrest behind her.
I dare say there might be a few fingernails still stuck.
Well,
in
let Lisa. I want to ask her that.
If she felt
unsafe, you know, because I'm so used to, you guys take the plane, I take the train. I'm used to, you know, doing my own thing. And Lisa, you were terrified.
We'll put you on the spot now.
That's all right. I'm not going to be mad at you if you say you were scared.
Yeah, actually I was. I had this pet peeve about, first of all, people not using their turn signals.
Right.
When they cut in and out of traffic. I get on Nick about it all the time.
Right.
But that.
Okay, you make your point. Thank you, Lisa. Thanks. All right, I understand.
Okay, so she was scared.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Thank you.
She was scared.
Thank you. That's
Ed
right.
Buzz, were you scared?
Actually, no. I tend to drive that way, too, although I do signal and don't change lanes quite as
Buzz
much.
Buzz and I were kind of commiserating as we're driving. You know, he was saying, God, they're out today. There's another one. You know, and Buzz and I are going back and forth, and he was kind of a good traveling companion in the shotgun seat because he was saying things like, that I would say, and I was getting fueled by that, and I was kind of psyched up to get there, and that might have a...
And I believe at some point the words death wish may have crossed my lips. Is he on a death wish?
Boy, but I have such a strong self-preservation instinct. But you know what? You're absolutely right. I have to mind my P's and Q's, and that was not the safest driving I've ever done.
So we're on the train, and even when we've gone through this stuff, I was still pissed. You know, you were right. I was still pissed. And then you wanted to go play cards, and I was still mad, so I had to pretend that I was sleeping.
You would have played cards if, like, I wasn't there. If you'd said, you know, if I'd said to you, you know, go, but you no, you would have slept or something. I don't know what you would have done.
If you would have stayed, you would have said, I would have gone and played cards.
Right.
But
right.
Because you said,
you were probably mad at me because I got I went to the poker game. I wasn't mad.
I was happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy that you left.
But I mean, it was, you know, it was okay after that. We had a civil discussion about show matters, and it was fine. But it was a full. I mean, when you and I go at it, I mean, it is, you know, I don't think we're even aware
aware of people around us.
Last night when we got to Union Station, we're getting in the car and you shut the door in my face.
Right, well, that was a joke. That was a joke.
Okay, well,
did you think I was doing that seriously? Like,
yeah,
thoughtlessly?
I was still mad. Why do you think when Richard was taking me to the apartment? Why do you think I got out 10 blocks away from my apartment?
Oh, I didn't know.
Because I was pissed at you.
Oh, I would have been more pissed.
I was still pissed last night.
I'd known that you did that because you were pissed, then I would have been pissed all over again. I didn't know you were still that pissed. I was doing that as just like, you know, ha ha. You know, one of those little...
No, I was still pissed.
You think, no, I would never do that on purpose. Like, deliberately shut the door on you?
You would, yes.
No.
Yes, if you were pissed at me, you'd do it absolutely.
Well, see, I thought you got out just because you saw that traffic backed up and...
No, I just got out.
The street looked like it was blocked off anyway.
Yeah, lots of streets over by where I live are blocked out, but no, I was pissed at you.
Okay.
But, you know, now this is cathartic.
Good.
It's all out there now.
Yeah, good.
It's all done.
Good. And you know, everything will be getting back to normal, and we will all travel the way we like to travel. Soon, I think.
I can't wait to take the plane again.
And I can't wait to just be rid of all of you. Frankly.
You want to play?
That's kind of what I was giving my wife last night. You know, I said, I come up by myself. I like to travel. You know, when it does come to travel.
You gave us that last night.
What's that?
Yeah. You said, I can't wait.
Yeah.
I can't wait for you guys to be out of here. But then you
right.
like four hands in a row. So that's why you were tired.
Yeah, well, no, my feeling after all was said and done last night when I talked to my wife, I like togetherness. I like getting together with everybody. Love going out to dinner with everybody, and I like staying out late with everybody too. What I don't, when it comes to travel, you know this, I really am a loner when it comes to travel. I like to be, you know, on my own.
I'm fine with that.
Okay, good.
I'm fine with that.
No problem.
Absolutely, I am.
No problem.
Okay, cheers. Oh, George in Jersey, hi.
You know, there's nothing I hate more than somebody who can't keep up when I'm leading the way.
And you know what, George? There's nothing I hate more. President, I'm going to piss my off. There's nothing I hate more than a guy going 100 miles an hour left lane.
We
normally do very well when we're in tandem. In the past, we've done pretty well.
Yeah, hey, George, F you. I hope you'll run into an embankment and die.
Hey, wow.
Jesus Christ. I'm as bad a driver as there is, but even I have my limits.
I understand.
Okay?
I understand. I'm not going to confront now.
It was left.
I've defended my position.
It was
and
left,
you
right,
know what?
Left, right, right, left, right.
You are not without a position here. I agree. I have said that, and I go on record as saying that, and I think that you and I have done the tandem thing before. Would it be safe to say, and it was, I know I was going much faster than I normally go yesterday, but when we do tandem sometimes, we kind of, there's a competitive element to that, too.
I swear to Christ.
Well, I know you were being careful.
There was no competitive at all yesterday.
Right. You were worried about your car, and I think you were being less competitive than you normally are.
Okay, if that's how you want to rationalize it,
I'm not rationalizing, but I mean, I said in the past, haven't we done a thing where you know you'll be up and then I'll be up?
But when we're
going to an appearance or something.
Yeah,
like
but
that.
When we do that, really, we haven't gone that fast, and and there's not the left lane, middle lane,
I have not,
right lane.
Now,
and the whole time,
have I said
I'm trying to follow you?
Have I disputed? That I was not driving safely.
No. No, you haven't.
I haven't. No, the haven't. Only okay. thing I'm saying, you know, it's just, we have to go by that. We have to move by that because it's, you know, the speed thing, we move by that thing.
Okay, I'll move by that.
But I mean, I was going faster than I normally go when I'm going down to Union Station. I was going much faster than I normally
Well,
go.
Anyway. Not about. I was pissed. God damn, I was pissed. You shut the door in the car last night.
When we got in the car?
Yeah, when we got in the car.
See, that's when I thought you were over it, and I was just doing a little joking.
I was just sitting there just seething. I got out of the car and get the phone and call me off and go, God damn it. Effing Mike. I said, we get this whole effing fight on the train, and then we get to the car. He shuts the effing door in my face.
Well, the other guys will tell you after we dropped you off, I was in a fine mood.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure you were.
Going, I hate this. I hate being here. I miss my kids. I hate this. Smoking like 800 cigarettes. Just going, I hate this. I hate it.
Diane, are you there? Diane in Connecticut? Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hi, how you doing?
Hi, okay.
I just wanted to tell you that yesterday when Mike, you were telling that story about your whole adventure with the weather and everything like that.
Yes.
I work for a bank, and yesterday I had to run to a very important meeting, and I just was like, I'm on an important call. I had to finish hearing your story.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
totally funny. You guys are the best.
I'm glad I'm glad that life-threatening situations for me.
No,
are we going to get into that?
No, I'm kidding. I'm past that. But I also had had a tough,
I heard from you last night. Pissed me off when you said, it's been a very stressful time.
It has. I mean, and not in any life-threatening way.
No, okay.
In lack of sleep.
Okay.
That's all it was. It was lack of sleep. That's all I was dealing with.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Don and Mike.
Hello.
You know, listen, Don, you could probably relate to this.
What?
Listen, you know, you love it when Batman fights Joker, and you love it when Superman fights Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
But what's really great is when Batman fights Superman.
Okay. All right. We're done our fighting. We're done with the fighting.
Absolutely.
This is the arena I enjoy fighting in.
And you know what? I'll even leave you with one, okay? I think maybe at some point during the trip, at some point, I will say that perhaps my speed may have gotten to that 100 mile per hour.
Thank you.
I wouldn't be able to say with true certainny whether it hadn't.
But you know what?
I thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Speaks well of General Motors, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, so we are both.
Two fine rides, I must say.
Well, Buzz will tell you, that little pickup truck I have, it's got a V8.
That's what I was getting from Rob.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying, I can't keep up with him. Look at that. And all Rob could say was, that is how great General Motors vehicles run.
That's right.
You're in a GM car. He's in a GM car. Look at this.
Yeah, I mean,
look at all the Jap cars we're passing up.
Yeah, I mean, we were blowing by cars. I mean, pretty good. I mean, it was quite a powerful engine.
Although it would have been safer on the salt flats, I really enjoyed the ride.
So from this point forward, if I ever have that role and that responsibility again, I will drive more safely.
And we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Nothing is more important than the simple act of people getting together.
Good. Could I have one more go, also, please? Sorry.
What?
Could I have just one more take of that?
Why? I just did it right.
Yeah.
Now, look, I'm not used to having more than one person in there. One more word out of you and you go. Is that clear?
Yes, sir.
I take directions from one person under protest. But for two, I don't sit still. But who the hell are you, anyway?
No, I'm the engineer.
Well, why the hell are you asking me for another one?
Well, I thought there was a slight gonk, and I would just like to be safe.
What is a gonk? Do you mind telling me what that is?
A bang from outside.
A bang from outside.
We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. Do you really mean that?
So in other words, I'd start half a second late.
Don't you think you really want to say July over the snow? Isn't that the fun of it?
If you can make it almost when that shot disappears, it'll make my...
I think it's so nice that you see a snow-covered field and say every July peas grow there. We know a remote farm in Lincolnshire where Mrs. Buckley lives. Every July, peas grow there. We aren't even in the fields, you see.
Yeah, we are.
We're talking about them growing, and she's picked them.
Yeah.
On what?
In July.
I don't understand you, then. What must be over for July?
When we get out of that snowy field.
When I was out, we were onto a can of peas, a big dish of peas, when I said in July.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes, always. I'm always past that.
You are.
Yes. Well, that's about where I say in July.
Can you emphasize a bit in July?
Why? That doesn't make any sense. Sorry. There's no known way of saying an English sentence in which you begin a sentence with in and emphasize it. Get me a jury and that's just idiotic, if you'll forgive me by saying so. That's just stupid. In July. I'd love to know how you emphasize in and in July. Impossible. Meaningless.
I think all they were thinking about was that they didn't want to.
He isn't thinking.
Listen, can we just do one last...
Yeah?
And it was my fault. I said in July. If you can leave every July...
You didn't say it. He said it.
It's every July.
You're a friend. Every July?
So after the show...
No, you don't really mean every July.
It is.
That's bad copy. It's in July. Of course it's every July. There's too much directing around here. Norway. Fish fingers in Findus, Norway. We know a certain fjord in Norway
near where the cod gather in great shoals. There, yonster, Stangeland.
A fraction more on the on that shoals thing. Did you roll it around very nicely?
Yeah, roll it around, and I have no more time. You don't know what I'm up against. Because it's full of things that are only correct because they're grammatical, but they're tough on the ear. You see, this is a very wearying one. It's unpleasant to read. Unrewarding. Because Findus frees the cod at sea and then add a crumb crisp coating. That's tough, crumb crisp coating. I think, no, because of the way it's written, you need to break it up because it's not as conversationally written. What?
Take crumb out.
Good. Here under protest is beef burgers. We know a little place in the American far west where Charlie Briggs chops up the finest prairie-fed beef and tastes. This is a lot of shit, you know that.
Yeah.
You want one more?
Yeah.
More on what beef?
You missed the first beef, actually, from BT.
When you missed it?
You're emphasizing prairie-fed.
But you can't emphasize beef. That's like he's wanting me to emphasize in before July. Come on, fellas, you're losing your heads.
Right.
I wouldn't direct any living actor like this in Shakespeare. Well, you do this. It's impossible.
Also, you did six last year, and by far and away the best, and I know the reason.
The right reading for this is the one I'm giving it.
At the moment.
I spent 20 times more for you people than any other commercial I've ever made. You are such pests. Now, what is it you want?
Nothing.
In your depths of your ignorance, what is it you want? Whatever it is you want, I can't deliver because I just don't see it. Help sensitivity find it really was. You can't give me worth it. No money is worth it.
The Don and Mike Show.
Oh, Orson Welles.
Stay listening. The Don and Mike Show.
Yes, we invite you to stay listening to the best of Don and Mike. It's me, your old buddy, Rob Spiewak, playing the tapes for you on this Wednesday afternoon. Thanks for spending it with us. More great Don and Mike stuff for you. No fighting in this one, I don't think. Just spirited discussion. Don and Mike are taking some calls, and some time back there was a Michael Vick commercial of some sort, and they discussed the special effects involved. I think you'll enjoy it and get swept up in the hoopla. It's the best of Don and Mike.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, this is Tom calling. I'm calling about those traffic restriction things. I like to get, I like to put your crack stat there and get some more information. I'm a salesperson in New York, and I always carry on business by myself because I'm carrying equipment or I'm carrying, I sell medical gear. How do I supposed to get into the city now?
You're gonna be screwed. It's like
you might need to take a different kind of vehicle. I mean, talk to your company about that because if you have a van or some kind of commercial vehicle down by the river, it might be different than just a regular car.
I think no matter what kind of car it is, there's some roads you just can't drive in by yourself.
I sell a lot of the IV supplies that were involved in the World Trade. I work for one of the major suppliers, so a lot of my sales calling is involved in visiting people in the various hospitals before we get the deal.
I think you'll get by no problem. They're not going to hand out tickets. They're only going to turn some cars around. And I think it really is focused mostly on cars. You're likely to be searched, so be prepared for that. But I think you'll probably, especially considering what you do, I think the cops will let through.
You could do what we do with the HOV.
Mm-hmm.
You just get yourself one of them dummies.
Cardboard.
I'm already there with you, man. Yeah.
To do that, he could just get like a mess of prosthetic limbs. If he's in the medical game already, he could just sort of wire them together and make a body.
God damn.
Make a little more work for him, you know.
What'd he say? I didn't hear.
It doesn't matter. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
You're better off not knowing.
How you doing, guys?
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, I got a good idea for the squeegee guys, because they're out of business now. They could just sit at the foot of the bridge and charge 10 people, $10 for people to go across.
To carpool with them?
Yeah.
Hey, now that's funny. Wants a squeegee guy in their car?
Hey, the conversation might be interesting.
It might surprise you.
Absolutely.
All right, thank you.
Hey, guys, if you get a divorce, who gets in custody of Buzz?
I'll be homeless.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello? Oh, what am I doing here? Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Hey, hi, you're on the air.
What's going on, guys?
Hey. Yo. Hey, Rob, I know it's a colored guy.
It's the bitter, baby.
Oh, BN.
Hey, BN, how you doing?
BN.
Colored guy.
Hey, you're not just any colored guy, you're BN. Hey, what's up, BN?
And I'm just calling because I ain't called in a while. What's up with your boy, 40? I ain't heard him in a minute.
40 was on last week.
Damn. So he probably died or something.
What do you got to be bitter about now, BN?
I ain't bitter.
You sound actually as mellow as you've ever sounded.
I have a question. Is this in actuality Glenn the Janitor?
I don't get it.
Okay, never mind.
That means it's not. Well, are you still mad at 40?
I hate that.
What are you so mad at Mr. 40 about?
It ain't the time to even explain it. I was just calling just because I ain't heard your guys in a while. But let me ask you a question about your little four-hour club. How am I supposed to get on to it?
Rob, would you like to tell him how he's supposed to get on the floor? We both looked at Rob. That was funny. That was a funny moment in and of itself.
Rob speaks to all the colored callers.
Right.
I believe you can register online or mail your information to P.O. Box 3049.
3649.
Whatever.
You gave him the wrong address because he's colored.
That's right.
It's P.O. Box 3649, Washington,
D.C. Those instructions from the whitest man in the room.
2007. All right, well, listen, BN, I think you should be... Frankly, now's not a time to be bitter. Now's the time to
unite.
Once 40's album drops, then y'all talking that H to the Izzo stuff, you know.
Yeah.
Well, then, you know,
so the only reason
wife can chisel on my nizzle while I dribbling at her. Ooh, yay.
So the only reason you're bitter is because Mr. 40's still on the show.
No, well, you know, I'm a better guest than he is, first of all.
And you hate him with a passion.
I mean, it's just something to do.
There you go.
All right, thank you, BN.
All right, later.
All right, see you later.
Bye-bye.
See, thanks. In that way, isn't it, it goes round full, because, Rob, you say that, too. You hate as just a hobby also.
Yeah, that's true.
There you go.
Some guys trade cards. Yeah. Uh-huh. Some guys collect stamps. Rob just hates.
You know, you were sitting there, and BN said, I hate just because it's something to do, and Rob has said that for years. It's just something to while away the hours.
That's right. You know, and luckily I found a job where I can get paid to hate, but sometimes I hate in my spare time.
Hello, Don and Mike. Show. Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, hi, Don and Mike here.
Yeah, this is Winston. Just in case you didn't know that Redskins released Jeff George today.
Yes, Winston, I'm ecstatic about that.
Yeah.
Jeff George is like having a retard play quarterback for the Redskins. you ever see him go back to pass when his eyes get real big and he gets that glassy look like he doesn't know what's happening?
Kind of a Tom Arnold lookalike.
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. Jeff Schrinsky, too.
Yeah, Tom Arnold with less hair.
Is Tom Arnold like a regular on that Fox sports show?
Yes, he is.
Oh, that is pathetic.
The manic, coked up Tom Arnold.
Oh, my God. Here you go.
But, you know, that is the pickup of Jeff George by whoever. Whoever gets him, though, they're going to end up looking like geniuses because Jeff George can throw the ball.
And doesn't he have like a 4 or 5 games when he first signs with the team?
When he does great. When he first gets with the team.
Right, before he loses interest.
He's a real team player.
Right.
He reads the playbook, and the guy can throw the ball
right.
A million miles. You know, the best ad on TV right now is the one from Michael Vick. It's for some drink like Powerade or something,
mm-hmm.
where they show him throwing the ball and guys are catching it and guys are getting pushed back, almost like that old movie where the fat guy gets the cannonball in his stomach.
Right, right.
And then they show Michael Vick standing on about the 20-yard line, and he throws the ball out of the stadium.
Mm. Wow.
It's not trick photography.
And he's not starting this year, is he?
No, but he scored last week for Atlanta, though.
All right.
I mean, they're putting him in at some game. That's a great commercial.
Mm-hmm.
Michael Vick freaking throws the ball out of the stadium.
Pretty incredible.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hi, fellas. How you doing?
Hey, we're doing it. Glenn, how you doing?
Oh, I don't know. Somebody else had called me the same thing.
This is Glenn.
Who?
This is Glenn.
I was calling about the women you want me to bring down. I got 2 girlfriends.
You know who this is? I believe this is Glenn.
Yeah.
I've not seen any prompt on the screen or anything else. I'm just
Hi, Glenn.
I think it's Glenn trying to call up again.
Hi, Glenn. See, now you're busted.
I'm sorry, fellas. I just don't know what you're talking about, but I'll be willing to bring them down tomorrow.
This is Glenn.
I'm sorry?
You are Glenn.
Are you calling me another name?
Hey, Johnny? Johnny, help us out here. Is this Glenn?
Johnny, you think there's a chance this is Glenn?
What do you think, Johnny?
I mean, it's just a feeling I got. Do you think this is him, Johnny?
Sure. I didn't put anything up there because I had to think about it.
I took it unscreened. Yeah. I mean, you tell me.
That's why I didn't screen it, because I wasn't sure, and I had to think about it for a bit.
I think it's Glenn.
Could be.
Glenn, I'm afraid this is you.
Fellas, I'm just trying to help you out. I mean, you know, I'll play along with you if you'd like.
Let's see, this is Glenn. Because a real caller wouldn't be doing all this stuff.
Yeah, I think this is Glenn. I think we've got another one of his characters. Let's jot them down, people.
All right, goodbye, Glenn.
All right, see you around, fellas.
Busted ya. Gotcha. Busted ya.
Got him.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hi.
How you doing? Steve from the Bronx.
No, this is Glenn.
No, Mike, hold on. It's a different phone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Hi, Steve.
How you doing, man?
Okay.
I got a problem with BN, man.
Oh, what's wrong with BN?
Man, I don't like the way he's putting down Mr. 40.
All right, you're a 40 fan.
Oh, yeah, I'm a white dude, man. I like Mr. 40, man. Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of guys of all different colors like Mr. 40.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I see why he has such a problem with him, man.
Well, you know what he really is? He's really JM.
Mm-hmm.
He's really jealous.
He is, man. I think you should stop him from calling. I really do, man.
JM. Okay, thanks.
I really do, man.
Okay, sorry,
God bless, man.
All right, God bless.
See you later.
Sorry he upset you.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Young man, room for both.
Hello. Oops. Don and Mike Show, hi.
Hello.
Hi. Yeah, go ahead. Hi.
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 Hey, do you know BN's real name?
No.
Oh, okay. His voice sounded awfully familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to know if Don has hung up. Hi, Mike, and hi, Buzz.
Hello.
Hi.
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 How are you?
What can we do for you?
I want to know if you've hung out with Mr. 40 yet.
No, you know what? I put out the invitation to him again last week.
I know, I heard that.
To take me down to Anacostia, wherever it is. I want to sit in front of the store. I want to play checkers. I want to play cards.
I'll bring my own checkerboard.
Whatever it is.
Dominoes.
Whatever it is the guys in the hood do, I want to do it.
Can I hang out with you guys?
I want to play my Jay-Z songs.
I have it.
And that's not, incidentally, that's not guys. Okay, that's guy.
No, I'm the only one who's going down. Mike doesn't want to come with me. It's just me going down there.
I meant guys as in 40 and...
Oh, 40 and the other guy? Well, I don't know. Would you be one of our hoes?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Did you ever suck the jelly out of the jelly donor?
Honey, listen, if I go down to be with Mr. 40 and the guys on the corner, it's going to be a personal thing. Okay? I don't want to share it with you. Sorry.
Okay.
All right. I just want to explore my black side, and I have to do that alone.
Yeah, no, but I want to dance with you, and you...
Oh, baby, I want to dance with you, too. I want to dance with you so bad, but you got to let me do this. You got to let me explore my black side by myself.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, though.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sorry, baby. She was very
another
depressed.
Time. Give her some hope. Throw her something.
Yeah, maybe another time.
Not guilty. Y'all got to feel me.
There you go, quoting my man again.
Yeah, your man's got a big article in USA Today.
Jay-Z.
I'm reading up on him.
Not in my show. Yeah, Mike says to me today, I'm walking out of the office. He said, what'd you say to me about Jay-Z?
I said, I think I quoted the one part of the, that he's doing very well. Both trials are tentatively set to start next month.
Oh, that's good.
He's my man. That's the one sentence I read him.
H to the E. H to the Izzo. V to the E. Get your goddamn hands in the air. I love Jay-Z.
And he's very, I mean, this is all about how hot he is.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
He's hot.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Don and Mike Show.
Hello.
You know, Don, Jay-Z is the Roy Jones Jr. of hip-hop. Did you know that?
No kidding.
I'm surprised you didn't know that.
Your helmet has the shell. Hi, what can we do for you?
Yes.
What?
Is this me?
Yes.
I saw that Michael Vick commercial, and there's no way he really threw that ball out of the stadium. How could you even think that's true?
Why is it so impossible to think that a ball...
That would be equivalent to 500 yards.
No, it wasn't 500 yards.
Think about
you dope.
It. He's throwing it from the 20.
He's from the 20, so to throw it to the end zone is 80
over
yards.
Over the stadium.
Oh, and it's he's
another
not... It's
he
not
up.
Okay. Hold on. It's not like an NFL stadium that he's in. It's
doesn't
like
matter.
It's a junior college stadium.
There's no way that's real. There's no way.
I would bet you anything. I would bet you anything that he really throws the ball out of the stadium.
That would be. So you're saying that the longest ball is like approximately around 100 yards in the NFL competition area. Now this guy's throwing it 150.
Yeah, you mean in the quarterback game that they play where they throw at the target?
Does he throw it from the 20? Over past the end zone and out of the stadium at the other end?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
no
but
way.
It's like a junior college, like a high school thing.
There's no
so,
way
stadium.
That's real.
So it's not like he's standing in giant
it's not
stadium.
Not like he's going up.
No. The ball has a steady arc that barely clears the seats.
So what this guy's talking about is you're probably talking about
it's all
maybe 100 yards.
In other
or
words, he's throwing rifles into these guys, backing them up.
Oh, now see, that part of the out, I think, is
ball,
that part. That part is bull. The part where he's throwing
so now they mix in real with fake.
Yeah.
It was all an exaggeration on how powerful.
No, it's I bet you anything. Michael Vick really throws the ball out of the stadium.
How many yards do you think that was?
I don't know. Like maybe 120 yards.
There's no way.
There's every way.
Look at the commercial.
There's here. Every way. Hold on.
Look how many seats are.
Can you tell me what the product is? Because I'll call the product on the air and ask them.
It's that Power Sport.
See, that's the problem with ads.
All I know is
that this guy and I guy are talking about. We're arguing about an ad we've seen with Michael Vick, and we don't know what the frig the product.
Powerade.
No, it's not Powerade.
All I know is that while he's big pimping now and spending cheese, the streets are still watching.
But watch the commercial again, and you'll definitely realize.
All right, someone will call and tell him. We'll call him. Thank you, though. Don't forget, you owe me, because he really does throw it out of the stadium.
Maybe they filled the ball with helium.
Sean, Don and Mike Show, hi.
Hey.
Hey.
If you watch the commercial, first off, it is Powerade, and second off, at the NFL Combine, he only threw 82 yards, so there's no way he threw that ball out of the stadium. Right, it's physically impossible.
Somebody give me the number of Powerade, because either I'm right or I am absolutely the dumbest man on the planet.
And when he knocked over the receivers, that didn't happen either. That's fake, too.
And I said that part was fake.
Is it an edit when he throws the ball?
No, they show the ball.
They show the ball, but what they do is they stop the camera, and then they have someone throw from closer, and then they just pick it up where it is.
No, they don't. It's one clean, continuous shot.
No, that's how it looks when it's segmented together.
Right. Okay. Thank you. Listen, if I'm wrong, I'll say so, but I think he threw the ball that far. Hello, Troy?
Yes.
Don and Mike Show. Hi, Troy.
Don and Mike, how are you?
Hi, we're okay.
I disagree. I don't think he's actually throwing the ball out of the stadium. I think it's like the rest of the ads that they show where he's knocking the guys over and such.
What about the fact that the stadium is miniaturized?
I don't care about that. It's a Little League stadium. He's throwing it 80 yards to the end zone.
All right, you know what? Someone's give me the number of Powerade. I'm going to call and ask him, okay?
All right.
Okay, thank you, though.
Sounds good. Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the call. Hi, Steve. Steve?
Yeah.
Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Okay.
You're so wrong. There's no way that is real. There's no way.
Ouch.
Who would have thought I'd hit such a nerd?
Don, I just want to say, I know you're getting a lot of calls like this, but I think you're absolutely right.
How can everybody be disagreeing with me on this?
No,
I'm not. Just remember, the guy you're looking at across the console is not disagreeing with you.
I
haven't seen the commercial, but I know you're right about this.
Hello. Jonathan, Don and Mike Show. Hi.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, John.
Hey, actually, the commercial, my brother works for the ad agency up in New York.
Yeah?
It's Computer Graphics.
I'm gonna have to hear it from Powerade, though.
Okay, it was done with CG. They used the same thing they did when he's throwing the balls and knocking the guys down. They used the computers to remove the pull cords they used to yank the guys off their feet. He did throw it pretty far, but it's computer graphics.
Well, now, it looks like when he's throwing the ball and the guys, it looks like the stuff they did in The Matrix, where they hook the guys up with wires.
Right. Where they freeze in midair.
Right. I don't know. Maybe I am the dumbest guy in the world. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, Don.
Yeah.
This is Chris from D.C.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, first, I don't mean to be a ball buster, but he throws the ball into the seats. It doesn't go, you know, out of the stadium and whatnot.
Well, and whatnot, I believe it does go out of the stadium.
You know, all I know is this commercial is the most widely viewed commercial in the history of time. Everybody's watching it.
They ran it like a thousand times during the Jet game and the Packer game.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
Well, look, if you give it the good eagle eye,
yeah,
with your good, you know, laser vision corrected eyes.
Yeah.
I thought he was going to say with your good eye.
Yeah.
With your good, you know, get up close to the TV. When it hits the seats, it bounces kind of funny, and it looks really fake, like they drew in the animation when it hits the seats.
All right, thank you. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Wouldn't be the first time I'm the dumbest man in the world. Hello, hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question. Don't you think Mr. Ford is sounding like Afro Man?
You mean the guy because I got high?
Yeah.
No.
No, not at all.
No, I think if anything, Afro Man sounds like Mr. Forty.
That's right.
Well, Mr. Forty should make a song, Because I Got Drunk.
Because I got drunk.
That's right.
Because I got drunk.
He's probably writing it right now.
And you know, the worst thing that happened to that Afro Man guy, that song, Because I Got High, that great song, everybody in the world was freaking playing it.
Right.
It's like no one's playing it anymore.
It's weird. I mean, so many different things have been affected like that. And not totally related, you know, I mean, it's just odd the way certain things are pulled
off. Can't we get an Afro Man fund going here?
I would think so, because he's probably hurting right now.
Afro Man Relief Fund.
Afro Man.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Oh, it's a Coca-Cola product. Gotcha. Thank you, Robbie. Hello. All right, let me try one more call, then we got a break. Hey, Richie, Don and Mike Show.
Hello, Don and Mike?
Yeah.
How you doing?
Okay.
Don, I want to defend you on this one.
You know why?
Why?
Look at Peyton Manning, how he outruns those Lions in that Gatorade commercial.
All right. You know, F you, Richie. Okay?
I love you guys.
F you.
Oh, man.
F you.
Mountain Dew commercial.
That's a good spot.
Where the guy races the cheetah.
No, have you seen that one, too? No, but the police he's talking about is with
I
Peyton.
Know, but I'm talking about the one that also yeah. where the guy runs down the cheetah to get the... And then reaches down the cheetah's throat.
I know. That's fake. No, that I know is fake.
Yeah, here you go.
We got a break?
Yes.
Okay, we will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rush Limbaugh.
903 and 14K on the award-winning Jeff Christie Rock and Roll Radio Show with fun and frolic for all. Some of you, no doubt, still wondering what award I have won. I'll tell you, none other than the Marconi Award for excellence in broadcasting. Non-stop music. 14K. Music radio. 14K, 70 degrees, cloudy skies. It'll be cloudy, a chance of some showers tonight with a low 53. Variably cloudy and warm tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Easter, Sunday morning, too. Afternoon, high Saturday, 72. Jeff Christie at 14 in a row. Stick a thumb up in the air. Vanity Fair. 14K Music Radio. 14K. Yeah. Good evening to you, music lovers, all across the fruited plain. It's 8:29 at 14KQV with the great 14K giveaway, where you and your family can win one of thousands of prizes. Be listening starting Monday on 14K. You are smack El Devil in the middle of 14 uninterrupted hits in a row with song number one. 14K. 34 at 14K, Jeff Christie, Rock and Roll Radio Show, and fun and frolic for all, forging onward into the pitch of black on a Friday night. David Essex, rocking on in the middle of 14 in a row. 14K Music Radio. 14K, hit line is open, 333-9190 is the number. You got a favorite song, let us know about it. 14 hits in a row and I got the Archies. 14K. Music Radio, 14K, Jeff Christie, often imitated, often mimicked, often copied, but never equal. And I am smack dab in the middle of 14 hits today, raw Ringo Starr. Billy Preston backing up on the piano. This is, oh my, it is in the top five. 14K, Jeff Christie, rocking and rolling on a Friday night, in the middle of 14 hits in a row. Some people think it sounds like Bob Dylan. Some people think it sounds like Harry Chapin. Doesn't sound like either of those guys. I mean, Billy Joel, working on a piano band. 14K. Music Radio, 14K, Jim, Shepard, and Spiders and Snakes. And with Spiders and Snakes, what do you get? You get cobwebs, a whole bunch of other goodies. Jeff Christie and Pittsburgh, it's a Friday night. We're working on 14 hits in a row.
I remember.
14K, Jeff Christie playing 14 hits in a row. I got a letter here from a girl named Mary Snerdley. Mary is a rich kid in Fox Chapel. Dear Jeff Christie, would you please play some of my favorite songs? I listen to your show all the time. About 75 songs on this list. Mary, if you're listening, why don't you send me a list of the songs that you don't want to hear? I think this would be easier. Take me 2 weeks to play some of these dumb songs. 8:57, that's the 14th of 14 in a row. You know how many minutes of solid music we just had? 48 and a half uninterrupted minutes of music in 1 hour. 70 degrees now. The skies are cloudy. It's going to be cloudy. A chance of showers tonight with a nighttime low at 53. Variably cloudy and warm tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Easter Sunday morning. Afternoon high Saturday, 72. The Public Offender Program is aimed at the offender with the greatest employment handicap. It's designed to develop marketable skill and good work habits necessary to obtain gainful employment. For more info, call Goodwill's Placement Counselor, number 481-9000. Kawasaki, that's a good time. Yes, now's a good time to get your Kawasaki at Hebert and Fisher Cycle Center in Houston. 14K.
Happy On, the greatest adventure of escape ever filmed.
Happy On is now showing at the Gateway Theater downtown.
KQV, Pittsburgh.
14K.
Music Radio.
14K.
All hit music and a little I Love You music from Charlie Rich. Very special love song, babe.
The Don and Mike Show.
Music Radio.
They are entertaining always.
Don and Mike.
That was actually Rush Limbaugh when he was being a DJ instead of trying to hoodwink America. Okay. Oh, was that a little political leaning? Yes, I guess it was. The best of Don and Mike here on Wednesday, getting you through all the rain if you're enjoying some of this great East Coast weather. And a special greeting to Travis, who's listening very carefully, finger on the button. Now, if we were doing a real Don and Mike show right now with everyone live in studio, we'd be going to Buzz with the news right about now. So let's focus on Buzz at this time, because there was a time when Buzz refused to buy a laptop. You know those computer thingies? Buzz didn't want one, and he just dug his heels in, and I believe Don and Mike gave him a hard time about it. Good stuff. It's the best of Don and Mike.
When are you going to make that purchase, Buzz?
I don't know. When I decide, you know, that it'll actually be helpful, maybe. That might be one point.
Well, it would be helpful tomorrow.
See, there isn't time now.
What do you mean there isn't time? You could have gone to Circuit City last night and bought a computer.
Well, actually, I was tied up.
Tied up doing
previous
what?
Commitments. Well, I had a doctor's appointment yesterday evening, and then last night after dinner, I was working on some commercials.
Oh, so you're doing the side work. Doing the side work.
It was a previous commitment.
The side work that is an arm of the show.
Yeah.
You wouldn't get the side work if you weren't on the show.
Right.
See, this has been an ongoing thing behind the scenes.
You guys are still arguing about the laptop?
Yeah, that I think. Listen,
couldn't you write the laptop off?
I guess I could, yeah. But the problem is even if I had one, I still wouldn't have a printer. And so I'd still need the same facilities that, you know, I'd need without one.
But you could buy, I have a tiny little printer that I buy to go with the laptop.
Would it be fast enough to crank out like 21 stories for the news?
Yes, I bring it with me everywhere.
I'll have to look into that and, you know. I'll have to look into that.
Okay. You sound like management.
We've been going round and round with Buzz about this.
You know, it's one of those weeks where nothing is going to go our way. We have to prepare for that.
You know, we got to go out of town to make this trip tomorrow, to do the trip to Boston.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. You know, it's not my hometown, but it's a place that's very near and dear to me, and I'm very excited about the trip.
When we do these shows tomorrow from the Sam Adams Brewery, I promise you it will either be the greatest radio you've ever heard.
Right.
Or the worst radio.
Either or. It's not going to be anywhere in between.
Either way, you'll want to listen.
Right.
Because either it's going to be slap nuts, fall down, get your tape recorder funny.
Well, you know, Rob and I have a pool going as to when we're going to find out that Ben Affleck's not going to be there.
Oh, I'll take that pool right now.
I mean, Matt Damon, the same thing.
I'll take it right now.
No, I already got that. I got dibs on that.
I say he will be there.
Really?
I believe that he will.
Really?
We could probably find out. We could probably make a phone call and find out.
Would you like to put a laptop on that?
Sure.
Would you really? Robbie?
My bet is that when we crack the mics tomorrow, they'll say he's on his way. And then at about 12:30, they'll start to hedge, and at 1, they'll say he can't make it.
I'll say that we'll know before the broadcast, well before. We could find out today that he's not going to be there.
My money is right now, Matt Damon.
I got dibs on that, though. You just remember, I got the earliest. I mean, it's already determined that he's not going to be there.
So tomorrow, listen, we're being strong-armed into doing this show tomorrow. From Boston, from the Sam Adams Breweries, because they spend an S-load of money.
They are a very significant advertiser. That's what it is. Is that the hotline ringing?
No, it's not.
Okay.
It is the "you guys are in danger of losing an account" that has just gone on.
You know, we started talking like this, and I saw this big light start flashing.
So tomorrow we got to go to Boston, and they're going to put us in this tent with all these other disc jockeys.
That's it, right there. I mean, if we go somewhere where it's just us, it's a much different deal. Whenever, based on our experiences, 15 years of doing this, when we're put in a tent with other DJs, it immediately takes away, because we feel as though we're doing the same show that like 50 other people are doing.
Well, and listen, these are all things that we're going to be dealing with tomorrow. The fact that I've
right,
heard
but
that
I am looking forward to Boston,
where we're broadcasting from. Apparently, it's some kind of a cemetery, a Civil War
do
cemetery.
Do we know where, you know? Because my wife asked me, so where are you going to be exactly? We don't know the town.
We don't know. All we know is that that apparently it's like a manure covered field, and they I'm not making this up. They throw straw on the ground and they erect.
But it's not in Boston proper.
No, they erect these big circus tents, and they have folding tables and chairs, and all the disc jockeys come in and do the show from the Sam Adams place, and it's like
now is this on the grounds of the brewery?
I believe so.
All right.
I believe so.
And anyway, this
do we get free beer?
Yes, Rob will be drunk both days on the show.
But, like, do we get a couple of cases or something like that to give to family members?
I'm sure that they will hook you up with that.
All right, very good.
And see, Buzz, because he does the news on the show, the thought was, well, Buzz, how are you going to get the news to prepare the news?
Covered.
Since you don't have a laptop.
Right. It's covered. It's taken care of.
It's covered. But yes. You're going to pay $70 a half hour.
No, not per half hour. Total.
$70 to go to the quote-unquote business center,
okay,
right,
in the hotel,
right,
where you're going to sit there with all the other schlugs and get slow internet access.
No, it's high speed access. I'll be in air conditioning in out of whatever the weather may be, and I'll have high speed access. I'll have Word. I'll have a printer. I'll have everything I need right there.
Well, I just urge you to get a laptop. I think it would be helpful to the show if you had a laptop computer.
I really can't think of any other broadcast other than this one where, that would come in handy, because every place else we go, we have a radio station.
But you should have a laptop.
I suppose I should someday, and when I get it together, I'll pursue that.
I was watching the Today Show.
Uh-huh.
And they said now for your kid going back to school,
right,
you can get a Dell computer,
mm-hmm,
with like 128 bytes and it comes with everything,
right,
for like $900. That's not
really?
That's not a bad price.
Huh. But then, there's the monthly wireless internet access fee and all that stuff. I mean, I got to hook up somehow.
But Buzz, you're not on poverty.
Well.
And you could buy a laptop,
right,
and write it off on your taxes.
That's true.
Because you would use it on the show.
But I can't think of any other time I'd use it. I just really have no use for one.
What about when we go to New York?
I've got the radio stations right across the street. I go there. I do my job at work.
You know, when you're traveling, though, you could that would actually assist you in traveling, because you could probably hook up.
Well, especially
if you took the train.
If I took the train, which I don't see happening, I'll probably continue to fly, and you can't operate electronic devices,
But if you took the train, all the guys have their laptops on.
Well,
the
listen,
train.
This is just a battle between me and Buzz that I think you should get one. I think the news guy on the show should have a laptop computer,
right?
And he's just been fighting me every step of the way on this. That it's I'll get one when I'm ready. I'm not going to be forced into getting a laptop.
You know that Burbank when he digs his heels in.
Yeah, I know. You know him.
We all have our issues, don't
yes.
we?
Yes. And yes. This for Buzz. The last issue was, please introduce me at the beginning of every show.
Okay. Right.
The new issue now is that you can't make me buy a laptop.
Can't make him.
You can't make him.
He doesn't want to get one.
No, I think he wants to get one, but I think it's now the fact that we're telling him to get one that he doesn't want to get one.
Yeah, because now it's become more of an issue.
Yeah, I think
now it's a matter of principle.
Am I right or wrong about that?
No, I really had no desire to get one before, during, or after this discussion.
But do you think that it would be an aid to you doing this show?
I think the problem with trying to get internet access and a printer would make the laptop a useless item. And like I said, I have facilities everywhere else we go.
You know, if you took the train and used your laptop,
yes,
you'd be able to like knock it out and like be done when you got up there. It'd be very cool.
Yeah, that's possible, I suppose. I'd have to look into it.
I take my laptop everywhere.
You take it on a plane, and most of them have, like, DVD capability. And you can watch a movie on your laptop, too. Yeah. You can play video games. I mean, I'm just talking about the fun part.
Right.
All right, well, no, Buzz is not into fun.
No.
Yeah, I'm anti-fun.
Buzz is very anti-fun.
I make my own fun.
Yeah, the only way he'd buy it is if it spit out bacon.
Yeah, but give Buzz this. He doesn't hate Zany.
No,
I'm all for Zany.
Nah, he loves Zany. Hold on, someone from New Jersey says they can get you a computer. Hello,
cool.
Pat?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Pat.
Good, I'll give that cheap bastard a laptop.
No, listen, here's the thing. We appreciate it, Pat. Thank you very much, but please, don't give the cheap bastard a laptop. The cheap bastard makes a damn fine living.
I'm sure he does.
Doing the news on our show. And,
don't worry about it.
And, frankly, I could loan him my laptop.
Yeah, I have one too, but mine's, I just found out.
You know, what does he need the printer? He could save it on
mine's broken.
A disk and just do it that way.
You know, we've tried that before, and we generally end up broadcasting outside in the sun where the glare on the screen makes it impossible to read the copy.
Oh, God, Buzz, how old are you?
He is, I'm telling you. Sir, I'm with you.
I will send you one.
I'm with you.
Put me on the phone and I'll send him one.
No, don't send him one. Then we want to get him to get his own. Thank you, though. Thank you, Pat. Hello, Matt.
Dollar. Hello. Have him pay a dollar for it.
Hello, Matt.
Hey, guys. Why doesn't CBS buy him one and supply him with it?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
because they supply us with everything.
Yeah, let's all stop and laugh about that one.
It is a multi-million dollar company, you know. at least they could do is, you know, give them $1,000 for a computer.
I'm told we all get laptops after they start paying for postage and pens.
Right.
Third on the list.
And I guess giving you guys money to buy gifts for prizes for the callers too, right?
Now, you know, we don't get anything for anything.
Exactly.
We get a budget. We get a budget for prizes, but you know, that's about it.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, as far as if any one of us needs a laptop, mm-hmm. which we certainly can write off in our taxes, we do it.
Okay.
We spend the money for it.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You know, so this is just cheap.
You have no idea. Yes. You know, as a matter of fact, that would be a good celebrity death match to find out who's
right.
the cheapest to get a Les Moonves or
sure.
or Dan Mason or Fareed or one of the CBS executives.
You know what I
against
did.
Buzz.
You know what I did yesterday though. I was real excited. I used my company medical plan prescription card to get discounted prescriptions.
Good for you.
It's the first time. I was very excited to get the goo that I'm putting on my poison ivy.
The goo, your goo.
I put it down and I like an idiot. I really felt super cheap because one of them was like $15 and I said, is that the discount with my card?
Because you know Mike has poison ivy on his butt.
Yeah. Yes.
I have
Buzz
poison
have that
ivy.
Prescription card? I mean,
I do.
Yeah. That's good, Buzz. That's
yes.
Good.
Well, maybe you could use that to get a deal on a computer.
That'd be
exactly.
great.
I don't know. All right, thank you.
See
thank you, Matt. See
bye.
You later.
I never figured out what the prescriptions would cost. I got one for this steroid you take when you have poison ivy, mm-hmm. which I'm not going to take.
Right.
But I got the steroid cream, too.
Right.
And it was like $30 for both prescriptions. And I never got what the total would have been, you know, if I had to pay full price.
They can be anywhere between $500 and hundreds of dollars.
Rob said $1 million.
Hello. Hello, Rick. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I just wanted to know whether Mike really thinks we believe that when he says that he wants beer for his family members, that he's not sucking it down himself.
Sir, can I explain now? Hold on just a second, because in order for me to answer you and really give you an explanation about that, I love beer, but if I was to answer,
why they're careful?
You know what? Here's how I can do this. I was speaking to my sister last night, who lives up in the Boston area, and I asked her, I think this is my brother-in-law's, one of his favorite beers. That's why I was doing that. Not that I don't love this beer myself, but it's one of my brother-in-law's favorite beers, sir.
And be honest, Mike, don't you require something a little stronger than beer?
Now I do, yes. Frankly, really, I'm not the beer drinker I once was. I now require hard liquor.
Thank you.
Require.
Goodbye. Now listen to this.
Lots okay. of it.
Buzz, you're off the hook
lots
here for
of
a second.
True.
Because I'm going to have to turn the spotlight on my child bride.
Yes.
You want to know what keeps a marriage fresh? What keeps a marriage strong?
Yeah.
What keeps the real romance in a marriage after 20 years of being married?
You share it with us, Johnny Raggatori.
I want to lay this on you. You know, we were making this trip to Boston, and shocker, they had us flying out very late at night.
Yes, of course, maximizing the convenience for us.
Because it's cheap. Mm-hmm. So I said, you know, get us on an earlier flight, because we do an earlier shift now, and I knew no one had to hit Mike to the fact that the
right.
schedule had changed, so... Last night, about 7:30, I pick up the phone and I call Mike.
Yeah, you've been very nice letting me know all the details about our arrangements here, because I know you get them at the last second from the powers that be. That's another bitch.
And I get, I got two helpings of scorn flakes.
Ooh.
One from Mike's wife directed at him.
Right.
And then later the big one with my wife. So I call up and Laura picks up the phone and she says, hi. And I say, hey, it's me. Is Mike there? And she says, oh, he's in the other room playing his new computer video game. She says, it's great because it's just like he's in New York. He's playing this game all the time, and it's like he's never here.
See, and that I didn't even know that I'd gotten that scorn.
Wow.
See, that was scorn that was shared with Don, and I, you know, she was scorning me through you, and I didn't even know it.
So
I was very pleased to hear it.
So she comes and gives Mike the phone,
right?
And I tell him we're taking an earlier flight, blah, blah,
yeah.
blah. Okay, see you tomorrow.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Hang up. I hang up the phone.
I think there might have been an old boy in there.
Yeah, yeah, so he hangs up, I hang up. Now, keep in mind, I'm sitting in a room with the door open in my cave, and my wife is sitting right in the next room, and she's reading or something. She comes in, and she's half kidding but half serious. She goes, who were you on the phone with? And I said, Mike, because, you know, I call Mike... Charlie,
the weird thing we do, we call each other Charlie.
Right, because, you know,
years.
Mike is Charlie Stuag Stavler,
right? I call you Charlie because I don't know why.
No, hold on. I was on the phone with Mike,
mm-hmm.
and she said, who are you really on the phone with?
Oh, no.
And I said...
So the fact that you made the correction aroused suspicion.
Yeah, like, I'm going to be calling my whore you know, from the den of my home with my wife sitting right in the next room. You know, I'm going to be calling my Gumar with my wife and my kid right in the next room and the right. door wide open. So she says, who are you really calling? Now, again, at this point, it's still half playful banter.
Right.
And I said, I told you, I called Mike about the plane to Boston. And she says, really? And I'm offended by this. I say, well, you know what? There's the phone. There's the redial button, mm-hmm. right? Because now we're playing a game of chicken.
Right.
So she goes over to the phone, and I said, don't call. And she said, why don't you want me to call? I said, because it's embarrassing. She says, right. I'll just hang up. I said, no, if you call and just hang up, they're going to see on their caller ID that it was me that called, and then they're going to call back and say, why did you call and hang up?
But she called my wife.
Yeah, so my wife and I are standing in the room, and she says, well, I'm just, you know, and she's doing this thing under the guise of being playful.
Mm-hmm, right.
She says, I'm just going to call anyway. She picks up the phone, and she hits the redial, mm-hmm. and she's looking at me with a big ass-eating grin on her face, mm-hmm. and she goes, hello? Oh, hi, Laura.
Right. And the conversation went something like,
did my husband just call your house?
Is my husband having an affair with you? And my wife, in her usual style, said, why would I do that? I've got a clone of him right here.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah. So, ouch. You know, just, we were just getting, you know, the compliments were just fast and furious last night.
You want to know what keeps a marriage good and strong after 20 years? That's it. When you're on the phone talking with a guy that you're working with for 15, mm-hmm. and your wife comes in the room and she doesn't believe you, and so just to prove the point, she actually,
right.
you know, hits the redial.
And then, you know, my wife gives the dig about me. It's just like he's still in New York. He's playing his video game, and, you know, and then, you know, why should I do that? I've got a clone of him right here. You know, the whole nine yards. Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Tuck the butcher knife and put it up to her neck. I said, if you want to live to see tomorrow, you better start frying them eggs a little bit better than what you're frying. I'm tired of eating sloppy, slimy eggs.
The Don and Mike Show. Not yet available on DVD. It's the Don and Mike Show.
I think we release on October 19th, don't we? Yes. It is the best of Don and Mike here on the mighty Westwood One broadcast system. And it's me, your old buddy Rob. We got another great segment here, and I think you're going to enjoy this. This is something of a historic segment. The first edition of the Rob Spiewak Show. So if you would, cue the music. Thank you. This is a guy, some nutcase that Don had me interview, who said that Michael Jordan could play better if we massaged the slavery out of his legs. Makes perfect sense. It's the Rob Spiewak Show on the best of Don and Mike.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the Rob Spiewak Show, and now,
yay!
Here's Rob Spiewak. Hi, Rob.
Hey, guys.
Rob Spiewak.
Now, the story is this. The story comes to us from a newspaper in Fort Richmond, California.
Oh, okay.
Fort Richmond.
Some critics think that Michael Jordan, is too old to be jumping into basketball again. Now comes word of a 77-year-old teacher in California who claims he can help Michael Jordan by massaging the slavery out of Michael's leg.
Oh, my God.
Asa Williams, who calls himself Dr. Jump,
sure,
claims Jesus. That African-American athletes like Michael Jordan are still traumatized by pre-Civil War slavery days, and they need to have the feeling of being chained, massaged out of their legs.
Wow, so he's a masseuse.
He says if he could massage the slavery out of Michael Jordan's legs,
right,
Michael Jordan could jump 9 inches higher.
Wow.
That's a lot.
Now, we have already pre-called this to tell him that, to let him know that the Rob Spiewak Show will be calling.
Excellent.
So I will play the role of the producer,
mm-hmm.
saying that America's favorite talk show host, Rob Spiewak,
is good with the elderly.
He's going to be ready to
He loves the elderly, Buzz. He really does.
Because, you know, it's funny. It's Rob, and it's
slavery, and it's, you know, it's everything that we goof on Rob for.
Asa. We figured Rob was the...
Asa, hello. My name is Don. I'm calling from the Rob Spiewak, Everything That's Right with America show. How are you, sir? I'd be glad to. Hold on for Rob, please. Rob is coming on the air in three.
Rob Spiewak?
Yeah, three, two, and...
Wait a minute. Is that telephone or fax?
You're on. You're going to be on with Rob in 10 seconds.
We'll get that later, okay?
Okay.
Right.
Thank you.
Here's now. Let's go to the announcer for the host of the Rob Spiewak Show.
It's time for the Everything's Right with America Show. And now, here's your host, Rob Spiewak.
Rob Spiewak!
And hello, America, and welcome back to All That's Right. I'm Rob Spiewak, and we're joined today by a right-thinking American from California way, they say.
Yes, I'm here. I'm 98% pure like soap. I float.
Do you? No kidding.
No, I'm a joker, too.
Yeah, I can tell. You're a heck of a guy, and you've got some interesting... I'm sorry?
Beg your pardon?
That's right.
What'd you say?
Nothing at all, sir. Not yet.
I'm a hard time hearing. Would you speak just a little slower?
Okay.
And my phone doesn't give the good volume.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
Talk about Michael Jordan, right?
Here we go.
Do you spend a lot of time with young kids?
Yes, I'm very young. I had five kids. My wife had a previous marriage, and there were doctors about children. I delivered my own children. My younger son, Jeffrey, was born in 1.5 hour in Marin County 45 years ago.
Fascinating.
Call me what?
Tell me about Michael Jordan, Doc. You go by Dr. Jump, don't you?
Yes, because I have people jump higher.
Right. Hmm. So tell me how you can help Mr. Jordan.
I can do it very easy. You see, I'll tell you very frankly, there's two kinds of people who jump higher, in my experience. Number one, all black Americans are black Canadians because they have in their emotional, mental body the residual memory of slavery. And I take that energy off the body. The other people works are people from dysfunctional families. And I can tell right now which parent was injured you. Just for example, cross your legs.
Okay, done.
Okay, is the right over the left?
Yes.
Yes, that's because you had, as a child, more trauma from your father than your mother.
I see. What if I cross them the other way?
Then more trauma from your mother.
What if I can't cross my legs?
Everybody can cross their legs.
Very good point. So what would you do to Michael Jordan if you could?
Well, first of all,
Dr. Jump.
We do it before and after. I have him jump as high as he can, mark it with a witness. I have someone there with me, mark it on the wall. He jump 8 or 9 feet, of course, because they call him Mr. Air. Then what?
Eight or nine feet in the air?
Well, they call him Air Jordan because he's like that famous Rudolph Nureyev. He can jump like crazy already.
Could you massage Nureyev as well?
Well, what I do, after I've shown how high I can jump without my work, I lay him on a massage table or on the ground if necessary, and I start working mainly on the legs. But first of all...
Upper legs?
Pardon?
Upper legs?
From the thighs down. But first of all, I test, always start with left, which is the female side of the body.
Right.
I have him lift his leg as high as he can without discomfort. Then do on the right side, and whichever leg is heavier.
You got to ask him about massaging the slavery out, because it just sounds like he's just doing a regular massage.
Okay, Asa?
Yes.
Yes, and this is how you get the slavery out?
Yes. Well, no, it's the memory in the emotional, mental body, and it's released through the physical body.
I see. And when the slavery comes out, does it make a noise or anything?
No. Although I do all kinds of healing.
I see.
For instance, you know the very well-known talk show host, Oprah Winfrey?
Yes.
Well, she was raped, and she admits that publicly. That's why she gets fat, because women who've been abused by men, they get fat, so men won't bother them. They're unattractive.
Do you think how does she cross her legs?
I didn't talk to her yet. She hasn't replied to me yet.
It's shocker.
It's important that she does get...
She'd have right over.
Yeah.
Because of abuse by men in her family. She admits that on her show.
Could you massage anything out of her?
I haven't had the opportunity yet.
But could you?
Well, oh, certainly I could.
What would you like to massage out of Oprah Winfrey?
The same problem.
I see.
The emotional, many idea of slavery. Of course, with her, it's not important. I'm talking about athletes like Jerry Rice. He's 37.
Yes.
And now he scored 2 touchdowns. He has the same thing. I could do it for him, too. And of course, you see, my idea is to give the money to great cause like the Dalai Lama and that sort of thing, because I have my own money.
Yeah. Have you massaged slavery out of anyone lately or at all ever?
Yes, I have.
Who's the last person? First name only.
There's a man in Marin County whose name I've forgotten. He only jumped 4 inches, but everyone's different.
He could only jump 4 inches in the air.
Yes.
How old is he?
He's about 35.
Wow. Now, do you think someone who's 35, they'd be born in 1965, they really are feeling the effects of slavery? You had to massage
them? No, listen.
You listen.
We have what's called DNA. And
I know we do. Hello?
Yeah.
Yep. It's
in the racial memory.
I see. Now,
even Canadians, they come out of the slave trade.
That's the way massages
are.
Have you ever massaged a Canadian like Gordon Lightfoot?
I don't know who he is.
Okay, Ann Murray? Burton Ooh. Cummings?
Brian Adams?
No, I haven't.
Brian Adams?
People. Also, it would work with Indians who've been glued and tattooed by American Canadians, you know, historically.
Exactly.
What does he massage out of American Indians?
What do you massage out of
American Indians? I had a black lady friend for 6 years. And
you dog you.
What's that?
You dog you. Did you massage her?
Yes.
I bet you did.
She was Vietnam generation, and I'm World War II, and she's 25 years my junior, but boy, did she start to work on her.
Yeah, I bet.
They don't call me Dr. Feelgood for nothing.
That's right. All right.
Now, give me your telephone number, your fax. I want to send you some material on peace.
I want
you to try it.
Come as a black American.
And any issue in your life.
That you really think that he's taking the slavery out of you.
Job.
As a black American, Asa, darling. As a black American, I feel you've taken the slavery out of me.
That's amazing.
Ask me if he knows Asa Buchanan.
I'm a very good man.
Do you know Asa Buchanan?
What?
Do you know Asa Buchanan?
I've heard the name. Was he on television?
Yes.
Let's go to the announcer. This has been Everything Right with America with Rob Spiewak and his non-feeling legs.
Rob Spiewak.
Join Rob tomorrow with Everything Wrong with Right with America.
Give me your fax number.
We'll see you next time.
Give me your fax number.
We'll see you next time.
God's blood, I want your fax number.
We'll see you next time.
He's a nice fella.
That is a phone number we can call again sometime.
Yeah, he's a good one.
That's a break glass phone number right there.
He works with dolphins, though.
Yes, he does.
In case of emergency.
Sure. He massages the flipper out of it.
Sorry, we're out of time.
Oh, no. Yeah, that winds up another episode of The Best of Don and Mike. I hope you got something out of it, as I did. Stay tuned. We've got another episode of The Best of Don and Mike for you tomorrow. A fantastic one. I know you'll like. Tomorrow, an in-studio visit with all of the Van Pattens. If you're a Dick Van Patten fan like I am, you'll love it because he stopped by with like all of his 90 kids. A lot of fun. Also, tomorrow we will get to the bottom of a scandal some years back when we prove that Don Geronimo is not dead. Also, Buzz Burbank celebrates Black History Month. It's a big show tomorrow. You don't want to miss it. Of course, I'll be here and you'll be here and we'll all be there. So stay tuned. The Best of Don and Mike tomorrow, all along the Westwood One system. Adios. Au revoir. Au wiedersehen. And, of course, stay tuned for the Ron and Fez program, heard on most of these CBS stations. See you tomorrow.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.